In February of 2022, President Joe Biden threatened the Nord Stream pipeline.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
1 month later, he was a harbinger for World War III.
We're showing a strength and we'll never falter. But look, the idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand, and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III, okay? Let's get it straight here, guys.
6 months later, the Nord Stream pipeline was destroyed by NATO forces. NATO forces who overthrew the Ukraine government 10 years ago. NATO forces who have been building bioweapons labs and missile systems along the Russian border for decades. And now, NATO forces are discussing plans to deploy advanced long-range weapons to target deep into Russia, which would most definitely trigger a full-scale war with Russia. Vladimir Putin responded yesterday to this major escalation. He said that this is an attempt at manipulation because it is not about allowing or forbidding the Kiev regime from striking inside Russia. They are already doing that with drones, flying devices, and other means. But when it comes to using AI precision weapons, long-range Western-made ones, that's a completely different story. The point is, and I've already mentioned this, any experts could confirm this, both ours and Western ones, that the Ukrainian army is not capable of launching strikes with modern, high-precision, long-range, Western-made systems. This is only possible with the use of a proprietary system, which Ukraine does not have. This information comes only from European Union or United States satellites, essentially NATO satellites. That is the first thing, and very importantly, maybe the key thing, is that flight missions on these rocket systems can basically only be programmed by military personnel from NATO countries. Ukrainian servicemen are not able to do this. That's why it's not about allowing the Ukrainian regime to strike Russia with these weapons or not allowing it. It's about deciding whether NATO countries directly participate in the military conflict or not. If this decision is made, it will mean nothing less than the direct involvement of NATO countries, the United States and European countries in the war in Ukraine. This is their direct involvement, and it significantly changes the nature of the conflict. It would mean that NATO countries, the USA and European countries, are at war with Russia. And if so, given the change in the nature of the conflict, we will make the corresponding decisions based on the threats posed to us. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese. At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric oxide, probiotics, joint relief max, nerve renew, prostate support, collagen, superfood greens, turmeric, ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Tuesday, September 17th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Gentlemen, it's the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Infowars.com, band.video. Thank you for joining us, however you're finding us. We're glad you're here. We have a lot to talk about. Of course, the continuing coverage of the assassination attempt. Although, woke up this morning, you know, opened up Twitter, checking the news. It's like it never even happened. It's like not even on the feed anymore. I guess that's just how fast the news cycle goes now. We got 24 hours for a assassination attempt against the former president and future president Donald Trump. We'll get into some of the talking points that are coming up now. It's getting absurd out there, folks, and we're going to cover it all. We're going to be joined by Ian Carroll in the next hour, talk about what he's found and discovered and learned about the shooter. We're also going to be joined, hopefully, by a surprise guest in the third hour, still confirming that. We, of course, have lots of videos to get to as well. And we're going to have to do your Daily Dispatch in just a second. But in the meantime, Sean P. Diddy Combs was arrested Monday. The U.S. Attorney's Office in New York has said Combs was arrested at the Park Hyatt Hotel on West 57th Street. A representative has claimed he was caught off guard by the apprehension, according to a person familiar with the situation who added he'd been living at the hotel for several weeks. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams confirmed in a statement that on Monday evening, federal agents arrested Combs based on a sealed indictment filed under the Southern District of New York. Quote, We expect to move to unseal the indictment in the morning, and we'll have more to say at that time. Combs' attorney, Mark Anglifili, a guy named Mark, expressed disappointment in a statement. He said Combs, 54, had been cooperative with the investigation and voluntarily relocated to New York last week in anticipation of these charges. He was shocked. He was shocked and surprised, but also had been waiting for a week for it to happen. P. Diddy Combs, Sean Diddy Combs, is a music icon, self-made entrepreneur, loving family man, and proven philanthropist who has spent the last 30 years building an empire, adoring his children, and working to uplift the black community while raping several... not supposed to mention that part. No, he's an imperfect person, but he's not a criminal. He's not a criminal. No, all of the victims let him do it. You know, is it really criminal if you're using blackmail and then the promise of untold wealth and riches to seduce your victims? Yes, it is, in fact. It's not immediately clear on what charges Combs, the rapper termed music mogul, was arrested. Combs has faced a wave of lawsuits, one as recent as last week, accusing him of sexual assault and misconduct since November, when former girlfriend Cassandra Ventura sued him in federal court, accusing him of years of physical and sexual abuse. Ventura is best known by her stage name Cassie, was once signed to Combs' Bad Boy record label. The two settled her lawsuit a day after it was filed without disclosing the terms of the agreement. An attorney for Combs said the settlement was not an acknowledgement of wrongdoing. He had previously denied the allegations. Now, let's talk about what some of what was revealed with the revelations about P. Diddy over the last 6 months or so, as affidavits and claims and accusations and investigations have shown that he was allegedly running basically a gigantic blackmail scam. Ventura's lawsuits include allegations of sex trafficking. She alleged that he frequently beat her and that he forced her to engage in sex acts with male prostitutes. Drug-fueled encounters Combs refers to as freak-offs and sometimes were recorded. Now, Sean Diddy Combs learned this from another producer who himself learned it from another producer. And this type of behavior, this type of manipulation got to start like in Motown in the 50s. And one of the strategies that was revealed during this, one of the people that P. Diddy was sort of grooming to be, you know, someone like him, because that's what happens here, is you have famous record producers who have these young people that are desperate for stardom, usually come from broken homes and bad neighborhoods, very little hope of advancement in life. And then here comes along, you know, some big producer guy who basically says, I can weave gold out of this hay. I can create stardom for you. I can make you rich and famous and desired. You just have to do a few things for me. You just have to submit to me. And so, and literally, it's maybe too early in the morning for some of the more graphic stuff, but let's just suffice it to say, if you're willing to help out your producer, he's willing to help out you. And the, to the producer's view, somebody willing to debase themselves for you means they'll do anything for you. Means that, you know, when it comes time to endorse a political opponent, you know, or to endorse a political candidate, or, you know, cover up for a crime, what they know is that you have no shame and that you're willing to do whatever it takes for the golden apple they dangle in front of you. No pun intended. And the people that go through this either, like, succumb to it and just, you know, humiliate and debase themselves and allow themselves to be abused, only to, you know, suffer and have their lives ruined because of it. Or they thrive in that type of scenario. They thrive in that situation and they themselves become the abuser. And at that point, it's like, well, this is just how it works. This is just what happens. It's what happened to me. Now it's going to be what happens to you. But the most important aspect of this is that the people do it willingly. They agree to do it willingly. And I've talked about this before. NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys, it's like the prime example of this, where they're all like, kind of like, you know, trailer park homies from Florida who just have, you know, no hope. And of course, their parents usually push them into it and they end up sending them to like New York, where they've never been, you know, 100 miles away from their house. Now they're sitting in a New York penthouse and the producer will come up with a contract. And he'll say, all right, you sign this. The world is yours. The roads are paved with gold. You'll be rich. You'll be famous. You'll sell millions of records. You'll be desired by everybody. You'll have posters and concerts and movie roles. Or I can send you home on a bus and you go back to dancing outside of Disney World for tips. So, of course, a person's going to sign. Of course, they're going to sign. But they're not going to become a world famous A-list superstar. They're not going to make millions of dollars. Of course, they're going to do it. But the contract is terrible, and it basically means that they're getting the bare minimum and that they never own the rights to their own image or music, and they never have control over their lives again. But this is the thing, when people talk about, you know, the people act like there's some sort of, and in some cases there may be, some sort of occult ritual aspect to this where they have to tell you what they do before they do it in order to, you know, fulfill some sort of ceremonial requirement. The reality is, they tell you what they're going to do before they do it because your acceptance is complicity. They have to tell you what they're going to do. They tell you that they're going to screw you over and go sign this document that says I can screw you over. And then if you sign that document, which you're going to do because otherwise they're going to literally put you on a bus and send you back to obscurity forever. And so they sign the document. And so then whatever abuse happens, whatever theft happens, whatever, you know, crap they pull in the background to, you know, exploit you to the maximum degree, you're not going to be able to say anything about it. What are you going to do? Sue them? They have a contract that says they're allowed to do this. And you go to the cops? Well, you signed a contract. You agreed to this. This was a voluntary partnership that you've entered into. And so if you, you know, extrapolate that out to just the beyond the music industry to just general corruption and criminality and exploitation of people, it's not just about offloading the guilt of abusing people. It's not just about fulfilling some occult ritual practice. It's psychologically and legally about getting you to allow these things to happen. By being complicit, you become a partner in crime. At that point, either you have no right to say anything about what they do to you because you've signed a contract that says they can do it to you. And so legally, they're covered. But more likely, you're going to feel like it's your fault. And it's the same thing that, you know, abusers do. Excuse me. Abusers do to keep their, you know, the people that they abuse in line. You see this especially with people abusing children who don't know any better. Where they say, you know, really, you made me do this. You made me abuse you. It was you. You were the one, you were sending me signals. And you know, so really, this is kind of your fault. So, you know, if we get caught, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to jail or they're going to, you know, execute me. And it'll be your fault because you're the one who seduced me. And you're the one, you know, if you tell on me, you're going to be responsible for me being really hurt and, you know, having to go to jail forever. And so they keep their abuse victims enthralled in that way. But one of the other more, I think, maybe more applicable things, because that's a little bit, it's a little bit obscure. I don't know if occultish is the right word, but it's a very subtle thing that they do constantly. And again, it's not about like, oh, you know, the Satan says we must tell our victims what we're doing before we do it, and that way we're not guilty anymore. No. If you get the person to participate in their own exploitation and to willingly go along, at least for a step or two into their own abuse, that's how you keep them as an abuse victim for a longer period of time. But again, and how that applies to conspiracy or, you know, when they tell you what they're going to do and then you vote for them and then they do it and you really can't say anything because, well, you voted for this. It's a way of avoiding the correct backlash punishment for whatever you've done. But that can be a little bit obscure. What's more important is the fact, and again, this is from one of, you know, the people that P. Diddy was training up, you know, to be one of his agents in the field, recruiting and seducing people. One of the things they revealed was that they would deliberately choose untalented artists. They would have criteria that the artist had to fulfill, but talent wasn't one of them. Why? And they explain this. They say, well, because as a record label with this star that we're, you know, we have to invest money in and hopefully get money back out. If they're actually talented, if they're actually talented musicians and actually can draw a crowd, and on their own can, you know, inspire and be loved by people, then they don't need the record label. Then if that record label tries to get too big of a percentage or tries to get them to do something they don't want to do, then go, you know what? I'm going to this other record label. They said they'd pay me more. They said they'd treat me better. And I'm a talented person. I'm a you know, a valuable commodity. And I'll need to take this. I'm going to go to this other people. But if they're not talented, if they can't sing, if they're all of their fame is all predicated on money from the producers, making it look good, making it sound good, you know, buying off the radio stations to play the music and buying off the TV stations to make these people look good and planting stories in the press, like all of this manipulation – that can go on behind the scenes that can give a false impression, the illusion of talent and stardom. But the person isn't talented, actually, you know, can't sing for crap and isn't creative. Then they can't go anywhere. They're stuck with you. They have to be loyal to the record label that made them famous, because the record label can take it all away in an instant. And that's how we got Kamala Harris. And that's how we arrived at the likes of Kamala Harris. Because if you think about it, if you're the powers that be, if you're the puppeteers manipulating the world from the shadows, if you're the people that are really in charge of any things, but your names aren't on any of the documents, you're the person that's actually issuing orders, but never actually fill an official certified seat in the government. The last thing you want is a talented, intelligent, charismatic, strategic politician. That's not what you want. You want somebody like Kamala Harris. You want somebody that checks all the boxes. You want somebody that looks pretty good on TV. Now, I don't think she's charismatic, but apparently, I hear sources tell me that she has some sort of weird lefty charisma to some people. That could all be an illusion. But just like if you have if you're trying to make a star out of an untalented artist, they can't sing, they can't write music, they're not actually compelling as individuals, but you want somebody that looks good, you want somebody that follows orders, you want somebody who has, energy and verve, you want somebody that can play the part very well. And that's essentially Kamala Harris. If Kamala Harris wasn't backed up by the entire mainstream media, if her entire presidential campaign wasn't one elaborate deception, one huge illusion from the people in power, well, she would end up like she did during the Democratic primary. Despised, hated, mocked, ridiculed, discarded. So, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird that you can look at a music industry so utterly corrupt as the one in the U.S. right now, with literal rapist criminals running everything. And you look at politics, but I repeat myself, it's the same system. It's a system of control. It's a system of evil, because it's the same system that abusers pull on their abuse victims, that small groups like cults use against their own members. It's the same psychology that keeps people enthralled to Harvey Weinstein or P. Diddy or George Soros and the other people pulling the strings behind the scenes in politics. And again, that's why I love, well, I don't love it. I enjoy watching things like true crime. I'm actually not a fan of like typical true crime. There's a lot of true crime that's very creepy and weird, and people clearly enjoy the gruesome aspects of it. I don't like the gruesome aspects, but the psychological aspects of true crime are absolutely fascinating and readily applicable to the political sphere. The warrant to search Combs' properties came from the Southern District of New York. NBC News has reported Combs, who has gone by such names as Puffy, Puff Daddy, and Love, founded Bad Boy in the early 90s. It's just another thing. First of all, these names are stupid. And the fact that this man ever got famous in the first place is a damning indictment of American pop culture. But that's fine. I just remember being a kid and it's just like, no, dude, Puff Daddy is P. Diddy now. And just being like, that's the dumbest name I've ever heard. P. Diddy? What? What the hell is this? But no, it's fine. These are our heroes. This is the pinnacle of American cultural output. P. Puff Daddy Diddy Love. Amazing. It's like, I'm going to go by Love now. Now my name's going to be Love. Just like some tied up girl, just like being beaten in front of him. Just like, call me Love, baby. And another bizarre aspect of this is like they teach the abusers, like the abusers when they share these secrets with each other. You know, when they're explained, like, do you know why I made you suck me off early on? That's because if you're willing to do that, you're willing to do anything. It was a psychological test, and you failed. And now you can carry that test out on other people. And one thing they always do, and it's very creepy, is refer to the abuser as Daddy. Sounds a little bit like Diddy. Puff Daddy. I mean, the name is as goofy and humiliating as it is. It's like, it's kind of in your face. Like, he's been going as Puff Daddy since the 90s. And that term, Daddy, it's a very powerful psychological lever. I mean, it's the same reason the Pope's called the Pope, right? Pope just means father. It's the same reason you call a priest father. There is a psychological subservience to calling another man father. And while that could be used in a good way with a church where the leadership should be acting as a father to his flock, as an actual father, somebody who loves his children and cares for them and is willing to, you know, do anything for them. It can be used positively, but obviously this same psychological inclination can be perverted and distorted and deranged. And you see, I mean, look up cults. Practically every cult you see, the leader will be referred to as the father, the dad, daddy. It's the same thing in sexual abuse relationships. Same thing pimps do to their whores, okay? Call me daddy, right? There's a psychological imperative there. As you learn about Combs and his abuse and the systematic industrialized exploitation he was running, you'll see that he made everybody call him daddy. On purpose, by design, for the psychological effects it has. Rodney, Little Rod Jones, producer on Combs' most recent album, alleged in a lawsuit in February that Combs made unwanted sexual contact, forced him to hire prostitutes, and pressured him to participate in sex acts with them. Jones said he lived and traveled with Combs in September 2022 to November 2023, during which time he recorded hours of video and audio of Combs, his staff, and others engaging in serious illegal activity. And again, just as a final note here, just like everybody that ever went to Epstein's Island, just like everybody and you know, people act like it's crazy to think that our entire country and culture and entertainment and politics is run by satanic pedophiles. And that, you know, they could be involved in these insane illegal activities and yet nobody knows and no information comes out about it. You got to understand, everybody who runs our country today is in a constant state of like crippling anxiety, knowing that their insane criminality could come out in any moment. And they're in a constant sort of fight for their life, fight or flee mentality that makes them easily manipulatable, easily controllable, and at the heart of it, evil, evil as Satan.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational globalist deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. Host Harrison Smith. We got lots of videos, new information about the assassination attempt, and new, even more insane reactions from the left about the assassination attempt. Saw a Babylon Bee headline article. Put it pretty succinctly. Democrats blame Trump for inciting violence by surviving. It's like, dang it, dude, if you would just die, we wouldn't have to keep trying to kill you. It's really your fault that we keep having to try to kill you over and over. Now, the guy who was arrested has not apparently been even charged for attempted assassination or anything of the sort. He's been charged with federal gun crimes. We can't live like this. No, that can't be the case. This cannot be the world that we live in. You've got a guy hiding in wait, apparently for 12 hours at the golf course, with a scoped rifle, with a GoPro, and he gets fired at by Secret Service. He gets charged with, you know, felon in possession of a gun. And I imagine that the reason they're doing that, well, it's because they really don't want to punish him at all. If it was up to them, they would be decking him in wreaths. They'd be putting a medal around his neck. Obviously, they have to charge him with something. And I have the feeling that there's protocol they would have to follow if they were to actually charge him with political violence. I'm not sure exactly what that would be, but I just imagine, I have the sneaking suspicion that they just charge him for the gun crime, you know, federal ownership of a gun. They're required to do like a bare minimum in terms of proving that. Where they just go, look, he had a gun. It's got the serial number scratched off, and he's a felon. Case closed, guilty as charged. If they say that he's engaged in political violence, there might be some requirement to determine whether he was part of a conspiracy. To actually investigate that further, to prove that claim, you'd have to look into his communications and his contacts, where he got his money from. So in this case, just by charging him with the gun crime, maybe they're avoiding certain revelations being made in pursuing justice. That's just a little speculation for me. Now we're going to show you some videos again about the outcome of this, the response to this. There's a lot of other big stories that we really need to get to as well. I mean, again, this world, folks, it really is beyond description. We'll try to get to as much of this news as possible because we have a lot of guests coming up. The second 2 hours is going to be chock full of guests. We're going to have Courtney Turner, Ian Carroll, and a surprise third hour guest in studio. I won't tell you who that is, but stay tuned. We'll go to some of these videos in just a second. Before we do that, let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 17th of September, 2024. Judge finds woman incompetent to stand trial in fatal stabbing of three-year-old outside of a supermarket. This woman, it's this disgusting creature, Bianca Ellis. She fatally stabbed a three-year-old boy as he sat in a grocery cart outside of an Ohio supermarket and wounded his mother. She has been found incompetent to stand trial. Cuyahoga County, Common Pleas Judge John Russo issued the ruling Friday. He said Bianca Ellis, 33, of Cleveland, will remain hospitalized indefinitely and could eventually stand trial if she improves. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. If you are too incompetent to stand trial for the violent stabbing death of a three-year-old, you should be put down like a rabid dog. Is that too extreme? So you're telling me that because this psychopath, deranged ogre, child murderer has such a low IQ that due to her crime, we are now, as taxpayers, going to be providing her with a lifetime of hospital care? For what? No, but why, though? But why would we do that? Yes, this is a woman that literally smirked at the camera when the charges were read out about her stabbing a three-year-old boy to death, wounding his mother. Here's the kid, by the way, on his last day of preschool. We'll get back to this. We'll finish up with the Daily Dispatch, but we'll come back to this. Just know that this is not the first time this has happened by a long shot. I almost wonder if it's a workaround of the justice system that these people are exploiting now, where it's like, if the crime is gruesome, horrific, terrifying enough, then it's like the crime itself is seen as evidence of their insanity. It's like you can't make this man stand trial. He's clearly insane. He stabbed a child in his own bed. A normal, sane person doesn't do that. So, case dismissed. He can go live a life of luxury, courtesy of the taxpayers, for the rest of his life. Now, interestingly, and again, this does happen quite a bit. I can show you other examples of this. Interestingly, this particular brand of insanity or incompetence manifests exclusively with lifelong criminal black people stabbing white children to death. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it crazy how that happens? How we can't punish black people for killing white children because they're so low IQ. IQ, something that I guess still exists in the court system, but don't draw any conclusions from it. And again, this is important as we talk about the invasion of Haitians into small town Texas and the fact that Haiti's IQ on average is something around 70 points, which is 5 points below the barrier for mental retardation. So when you're bringing in 20,000 Haitians, on average, 10,000 of them have so low IQ, they cannot be charged for crimes that they'll commit. Can't be held accountable for them. They aren't competent. Competent enough to take your job. Competent enough to be, you know, given a magic money card by the government and to be put in a house next to you. But if they commit a crime, I mean, these are just poor animals we're talking about. We can't hold them to account. They're children, okay? They're little babies. How are you supposed to hold them to account? You're supposed to punish this poor innocent baby, this child? No, they're despicable, heinous demons, these people that stab children. I don't care if they claim they're... And the other thing, you can pretend to be stupider than you are, right? Like, how is this still a thing? It's like the oldest trick in the book. It's in the 20s, mobsters were pretending to be incompetent to get out of trials. Oh, he's senile, folks. Sorry. Junior Soprano can't be charged with his racketeering. He's just a pitiful old man. So we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. Just be aware. Just be aware of that. Meanwhile, and I have not figured out how to say this guy's name, Hugh Edwards, H-U-W. Guys, any suggestions how I pronounce this? Hugh Edwards. Hugh Edwards given suspended sentence for accessing indecent images of children. Former BBC newsreader admitted offenses involving photographs of children as young as 7. This former BBC presenter, Hugh Edwards, has been given a 6-month suspended prison sentence, completing an extraordinary fall from grace after admitting accessing indecent photographs of children as young as 7. Edwards, 63, who spent 4 decades at the BBC, looked pale and tired in the dock at Westminster Magistrates Court as the chief magistrate, Paul Goldspring, handed down the sentence. He was told he'd been perhaps the most recognized newsreader and journalist in the UK, but that his long-earned reputation is in tatters. I thought he was going to say something about, you know, you're the most recognized talent at the BBC to ever be charged with pedophilia, but that wouldn't really be true, is it? No, there are actually several others more famous. It's almost like the people who run BBC and, you know, by extension, the entire British establishment are all satanic pedophiles. Isn't it kind of like that? Meanwhile, BC, British Columbia, will force severely addicted and mentally ill people into involuntary care. Premier David Eby announced the change Sunday after nearly a decade of the overdose epidemic and street violence. Now, I was a bit confused by this because I seem to remember them decriminalizing drugs like a couple months ago, maybe a year ago. Maybe this was somewhere else in Canada that tried this, but I very distinctly remember, and we'll need to find the clip of it, of covering the story. I thought it was Maybe it was in Vancouver. Where's it? Vancouver in British Columbia? Who knows? Who knows? Canadians, probably. There was a couple months ago that they were like, yeah, we're trying this new thing. You know, this drug problem's really bad. We got a lot of overdoses. So we're going to legalize all drugs. I remember saying, let's put a pin in this. Let's check back in a couple months and see how this is going. Yeah, it turns out not good. It turns out it doesn't go well when you just facilitate and foster mental illness and drug addiction in your citizenry. By the way, guys, do we have a commercial break? Oh, we're skipping all the commercial breaks now. Great. Good to know. Thanks for telling me we don't have any commercial breaks. I am kind of happy about that. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton wants to jail MAGA supporters, calls Trump a threat to America one day after a second man tried to kill the 45th president. Political establishment continues inflammatory rhetoric and violent attacks on the GOP candidate. Former Democratic presidential candidate and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told MSNBC viewers that Americans who are engaged in pro-Trump propaganda should be jailed as a deterrent to silence others. Continuing to push the false claims of Russia collusion in the 2016 election, Clinton said, I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this type of propaganda, whether they should be civilly or in some cases criminally charged, is something that would be a better deterrent. We'll get back to this. We'll talk about a little bit more about this as well, because censorship is moving ahead at a pace, and it's doing it at on a global level. The G20, you know, top 20 largest economies in the world are meeting together in Brazil for this exact reason, to better determine how they can work together to silence their own citizens. I really just want people to understand, like, the tidal shifts that are going on right now. Like, on InfoWars, like, on a daily basis, on X, we're sort of constantly reporting on the waves crashing, like wave after wave after wave, story after story after story after story. And it can seem a little bit bewildering, a little confusing. Sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's another. You're getting, you know, whiplash cracking back and forth. But if you look under the surface at the tides, the way things are moving is in a very, very, very disturbing direction. And again, sometimes you'll have minor victories that slow the progress a little bit. Sometimes you might even have a reversal. Things turn around, like in El Salvador, where a leader with executive authority and a love of his own people can actually solve all of the problems overnight. Sometimes you get a miracle like that. But for the most part, and across the world, systematically, piece by piece, block by block, they are building up this edifice of censorship and control. And the longer it goes on, every day it becomes that much more difficult to undo or destroy. And it's a compounding issue, right? The more censorship they put into place, the less you can talk about the censorship, the less you can speak out against them, the more censorship they put in, the less you can talk out, the more. It's a feedback loop that they're actually engaged in ostensibly for democracy. Okay. I tweeted about this yesterday, about the fact that there are prominent, respected leftist organizations that are saying things that are so outrageous, so absurd, so nonsensical, it really beggars belief. The fact that you have people like Morgan Freeman tweeting out, God, the assassin was a Republican. It's just more proof these Republicans are so dangerous. There's so many aspects to this to get into. I mean, one of them that should be obvious to anybody is the just obvious deception and lie of, like, MAGA extremists, right? Because, you know, the likes of Joe Biden, as he's up there giving his his speech about how evil Trump supporters are and how they're all domestic terrorists and have to be stopped with violence, he goes out of his way to make a, you know, to set up a difference between the MAGA extremists, the Donald Trump supporters, the evil Nazis, and the Republicans who we're actually best friends with. You know, the classic Republicans like George W. Bush and Mitt Romney. And then you've got some guy who lies about voting for Trump, voting Republican in 2016. And he comes out going, see, these Republicans are crazy. Because obviously, if you're shooting at Donald Trump, I don't know if I need to tell you this, you're not a Trump supporter. OMG, Ryan Wesley Routh, the alleged attempted assassin, appears to have been a Republican supporter at Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley. What the F? Idiot. He was anti-Trump. Yes, they hate Trump. Yes, all these people hate Trump. And they're dishonest. And they're two-faced. And they're underhanded. And they all feel as though they have this narcissistic belief in themselves and their ability to psychologically manipulate other people. See, this is the danger of the current environment, is that you almost have I don't even know how to put it. It used to be that the people at the top, people in boardrooms on Madison Avenue, knew all of the secrets of human psychology and would use it to sell you things or get people elected or start wars. Now there's this wide distribution of this knowledge for a bunch of idiots that think that they can wield it too. So they don't see the world in terms of like their honest interpretation of the world. Like, if you hate Trump and you hate Trump and you just come out and say you hate Trump and you go, I don't like Trump, I don't like what he stands for, I don't want him because I'm a liberal, I'm a leftist, I'm a Kamala supporter, I'm a Obama supporter, whatever it is. So I hate this guy. That's one thing. What these people do is they go, ooh, it'll be more effective if I say I'm a Trump supporter and I concern troll him, or I say I'm actually a Republican. I mean, how many accounts? I've seen, like, there's like dozens, and they're pumped into our feed, by the way. I'm constantly seeing these artificially propped up on Twitter of people going, you know, I'm a Republican. I voted Republican my whole life. I voted twice for Trump, but I just can't do it anymore. We need to move on, you know, for the sake of the Republican Party, for the sake of America. I'm a great patriot, and I just think we need to leave Trump to the side. It's deception. It's a lie. It's a lie. They hate Trump. They think America's evil. They want to tear it down. They'll tell you in their own words if you get them to be honest. But they know psychologically they have to cloak themselves like a Trump supporter to try to destroy Trump. It's like Jim Jones hated the church, so he founded one, right? They know it's more effective to destroy Trump by pretending to be a Trump supporter, concern trolling him, or saying, you know, really, this Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy ticket would be great. That'd be fantastic. Doesn't like Vivek Ramaswamy or Nikki Haley. He hates Trump. It's not that complicated. And even the statements that they take, they have like one statement of his where he says something about Donald Trump. I haven't even seen the one. I don't think he says that he voted for Trump. But there's one where, like, he kind of insinuates that he voted for Trump. He basically says, like, I had high hopes for Trump, but wow, I've been so disappointed and I can't support him anymore. And people are going, see, he's a Trump supporter. It's like, oh, the guy that was trying to kill Trump is a Trump supporter. I just don't know how to deal with this anymore. These people know what they're doing. They know they're lying. They know they are not even convincingly deceiving everybody. They're just pretending. And this is the thing. And again, this is what I said on X. It's not just that it's wrong, that there is overwhelming and overabundance of evidence that this guy was a lifelong Democrat, that he donated to Democrat causes, that he had bumper stickers of Biden Harris on the back of his car, that he showed up with a gun to Trump's golf course to try to shoot him. Like, not only is there plenty of evidence that this guy was a lifelong avowed Democrat and, you know, Ukrainian extremist. But if you didn't know anything about the guy, you didn't know his age, you didn't know his name, you didn't know his face or his race or his gender or anything. There's one thing that you know about him, and that's that he tried to kill Donald Trump. And you've got prominent leftists saying, see, this is the danger of Trump supporters. They're crazy. So at a certain point, we just have to understand how lost these people are, how far gone they truly have gotten at this point. And again, I really don't know what to do about this, because they have the system rigged from the beginning, not just in terms of rigging the vote, but in terms of rigging the information the voters even operate off of. And it'd be one thing if we lived in a monarchy and I could just advocate for the supreme leader to exert his will for everybody else. But like, we have to have the people on our side. We have to have a massive, overwhelming superiority in numbers to save ourselves. And yet you look around at these posts from people like Morgan Freeman going, this guy was a Republican, like 200,000 likes. She's like, okay, so we're surrounded by morons. We're surrounded by idiots. Or evil people. I mean, it's got to be one or the other. Either they're so mentally deranged that they believe this stuff, like they believe the sky is green, or they're just evil and they just like are getting off on it. And I said this, somebody said, it's to make you feel crazy. It's gaslighting to make you feel like the crazy one. I don't feel crazy. No, everybody else is crazy. If everybody else started saying the sky was green, would you go, oh, maybe it is green and I'm crazy? No, they're crazy. All these people are crazy. It doesn't make me feel crazy. I'm just shocked at the overwhelming number of people that are clearly insane. You can't gaslight me, though. I'm right about everything. We'll be right back.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you are keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. Hillary Clinton is in the public eye again. I'm sorry to have to do this to you, folks. So first to clip number six here. This is Hillary Clinton on stage yesterday being asked about the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Let's watch.
I worry about threats. I worry about what's being said online about many, many people, not just the former president. And he should be doing, if he were really a leader, he should be doing what he can to calm the waters, not try to just continue to throw, you know, red meat out there to get people riled up.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What do we have to do? Shoot the guy? He needs to calm down. Stop giving red meat to people. I'm telling you, we need a phrase for that. It needs to be summed up in a word because it just happens over and over and over again. They treat your legitimate concerns as propaganda. They treat your legitimate outrage at the like physical, tangible worsening of your life as if it's some scheme or scam or red meat to your base to rile them up, right? To rile them up. And in doing that, they not only dismiss the actual concerns and act like they're not real, your outrage must therefore just be because you're stupid and falling for the propaganda. So if your life is made worse by their policy, say, for example, a Haitian family moves in next door and eats your cat, right? You might be a little bit outraged by that. You might be a little bit outraged at the fact that billions of your taxpayer dollars are going towards the deliberate eradication of your race in your homeland. But if you're outraged by that, and one of your elected representatives reflects that outrage, expresses that outrage, or even acknowledges that outrage, then the Democrats twist it, flip it, and go, the politician that talked about this is feeding red meat to his base to rile them up, and you're just a sucker for falling for it. And you're just a victim of his propaganda. It's so twisted. It's so disrespectful and dismissive. And it's on purpose and by design. I hope you're not falling for it. Let's go now to another Hillary Clinton clip. This is her talking about misinformation. Let's watch.
And boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence. Because
we need deterrence. We need to criminally charge people as a deterrent against misinformation, she says, immediately after repeating the most damaging, the most widespread, and the most thoroughly debunked misinformation from nearly 10 years ago, the Russia collusion narrative. So, I hate to say this. I really hate to make this admission. I agree with Hillary Clinton. I agree with her here. The disinformation and misinformation that she and others like her spew, it has to end. We can't go on like this. This country can't survive like this. And there has to be a deterrence. Now, whether that's being criminally charged or whether that's being tarred and feathered and legally prosecuted, convicted, and led solemnly up to the gallows, I don't know. I don't know. But I agree, Hillary Clinton. We need major, severe action to act as a deterrence against misinformation, like saying Russia rigged the election for Donald Trump. There has to be punishment for that.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. Courtney Turner joins me today. She's the host of Courtney Turner Podcast. She's also a public speaker and aerial acrobatic performer. You can find her latest content at Courtney Turner on X or CourtneyTurner.com. And again, it's CourtneyTurner.com. Courtney, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and we knew they were going to do this, didn't we? Last time you were on, we helped to stop them from basically turning the earth itself into something that's traded on the stock market, NAC's natural asset companies, whose entire purpose was to commodify the air and water and earth and plants. It's crazy, but they're trying. And we said after last time, we'll defeat them this time, but they'll just reword it and come back and try again. They're doing it again, aren't they, Courtney?
They are. And this time is called the Sustains Act. And they are pushing this through. So this is part of the, I forgot what it's called. It's the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023. It's very hard to keep up with all their names because they do. They just keep rebranding everything. But yeah, this is now, and this one is so incredibly sneaky, but it is just a rebranding of the natural asset companies. But this one is all about private land. So through those conservation easements that they were trying to sneak in through the NAC, that's what they're doing now. So on your private land, whether it's, you know, piece of land you own, your home, your house, whatever it is, they can now have what they call environmental services and ownership of that, where they can commodify literally the air you breathe, photosynthesis, you know, all these natural occurrences. They're going to commodify them, not only commodify them, but they're going to tell you that they have complete control over them. So they, because this is part of the degrowth agenda, it's part of the 30 by 30 land grab, which they now, the Biden-Harris administration renamed it to call it the America the Beautiful, because people rightfully push back against the 30 by 30. The 30 by 30 agenda says that by 2030, 30% of the Earth's land and water will no longer be inhabited and used by humans. And this is just a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone to get to their half Earth agenda, which is part of that book that E.O. Wilson wrote in 2016. He really outlined that plan. So they just want complete and total control. And this Sustains Act, just as the name implies, is all about achieving their 17 sustainable development goals, which I don't think is any coincidence that they're doing this right before the Summit of the Future. Right. They're trying. The deadline was actually last night. So I want to, just before I forget, make sure I do a call to action. A lot of people have said, oh, the comment section has already passed. You know, we can't do this. But that's not true. On the website itself, they specifically said that they will consider comments afterwards. So I just want people to, like last time, flood their inbox. I don't even know how much they actually read them, but I want them to be flooded. So they're so overwhelmed, and it forces them to rebrand and, you know, at least withdraw this and derail it for a period of time. So if they go to the regulations.gov, they're going to have to search. The docket ID is NRCS-2024-0014. So That's, I can read it again, NRCS-2024-0014. And submit comments. And I can give you even a list of, there was the American Stewards for Liberty. They had outlined three things that they thought were, you know, good comments to submit. And I can read those to people. Just obviously, you know, whatever people want to submit, I don't want to tell people what to do or dissuade them from submitting their own comments. There's so much that can be said. However, I do think that sometimes people get a little bit overwhelmed and they don't know what to say, right?
Yeah, it's better to have a little bit of a template at least to work off of, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm going to read. This is from the American Stewards for Liberty, and you can go to AmericanStewards .us, and it'll come up. It's the first article, so if you want to look at it for yourself. But I'll read it to people so they have just a sense. The first comment they suggest saying is, natural processes should not be monetized, owned by one entity to the exclusion of another through environmental service markets. Common sense, right? This is right. Pretty obvious. Number two, whatever benefits are created as a result of the conservation programs remain owned in full by the landowner of that property. And this is so incredibly important. I mean, what do you have? You don't own the rights to your own land. So there, let me just give you an example. Let's say you own land that's very rich in oil or coal, and they tell you, well, you can't drill on that land because, you know, it's bad for the environment. This is your land. Or they tell you that you can't farm on your own land. Right. And they could do that. This is all in the name of carbon sequestering, carbon credits, biodiversity credits. They think they're going to make upwards of $32 trillion. They're talking about that being the value of all land, of all owned property, the homes in the United States. And they want to use that to leverage as collateral on our national debt. That is just a horrifying concept.
And as you point out, I mean, people might understand. They go, well, you know, oil and coal, I mean, these are bad for the environment. And they're not, obviously. We reject that. But you got to understand how far this goes. This is like, you're not allowed to garden. You're not allowed to farm. You're not allowed to do anything to take advantage of the – just to read what the national – and this is the one that we defeated earlier, but they've just rebranded it. But natural asset companies, this is a proposal that the New York Stock Exchange would allow the creation and listing of a new type of company called a natural asset company for public investment. The proposal poses significant risk to rural economies by creating a mechanism for public and private land to be permanently removed from productive use in the name of solving climate change. So again, it's not just us saying this. It's not just like, well, potentially they could. No, this is the point. They want to eliminate your ability to utilize your land, and they are commodifying nature itself. And all of this, by the way, is a push towards a carbon-based monetary system, which is the total control social credit system. Eventual, you know, endpoint is life itself, and the air that you breathe will be commodified and basically debited from you for existing. It's horrifying, but this is real. They're actually doing this. We defeated them once. Now it's time to send your comment again. And if you go to Courtney Turner's X account at Courtney Turner, C-O-U-R-T-E-N-A-Y-T-U-R-N-E-R. The comment is there. I just reposted it, Harrison H. Smith. So you can find the link directly to this to make your comment. But sorry, I just want to emphasize that, like, what you're saying is not some bizarre interpretation of the law. This is the point, to stop you from using your natural resources.
Yeah, I mean, they include, like, pollination in this. I mean, this is how crazy these people are. I did a show last night and yesterday, and I kept saying, you know, if these psychopaths would just slow down, there's just way too much to cover, but they don't.
Seriously.
They just keep going. That's exactly right. And there's a great article Zero Hedge did that was all about their One World Agriculture Plan. And this is, of course, part of that, because they want to terraform everything. So they want where agriculture, under this One World Agriculture Plan, everything's going to be GMO and synthetic. Right. And, of course, this begs the question, will humans even survive that? I don't know. I mean, we're already seeing, you know, very deleterious health effects as a ramification of all these synthetic and bioengineered foods. So I don't know what will happen when they take this, you know, many steps further. But the other question becomes then, you know, do humans become patentable when they're, right, eating things that are completely removed from, several steps removed from our own DNA. But this is part of their transhuman agenda. And they keep saying this. So the Summit of the Future is next week. That's a, you know, the action days, I believe, are September 20 and 21st. And then the summit itself is the 22nd and 23rd. And this is where they vote on, like, their Pact for the Future, the Global Digital Compact. And, of course, the Global Digital Compact gives them complete purview over the Internet, you know, which these evolutionary leaders think is the noosphere. Like, Bruce Lipton will talk about how we evolve. You know, he's an evolutionary biologist, and he talks about how we evolved. And the next stage of evolution, we can choose to co-create and create this super organism of humanity. And he says that the membrane is what makes organisms so smart, because they collect information through the membrane. He says that membrane is going to be the Internet. And the AI World Society is 2045. That's when, you know, they're slated for the centennial of the UN. And this is in partnership with Boston Global Forum. The book, Remaking the World, The Age of Global Enlightenment, was former governor of Massachusetts, Michael Dukakis. He wrote this book, and of course, just the title alone, you can see the New Age nod. And it is very much, because they believe that we are going to, you know, evolve as this superorganism of humanity, where the Internet controls everything. And the AI World Society, they talk about things like, I mean, they literally, I know it sounds like conspiracy theory, but they talk about 6G, which the University of Massachusetts Amherst already admitted does use humans to harness its power. And in the AI Society, World Society blueprint, they outline how it's going to use 6G for not just the Internet of Things or Internet of Internet of Bodies, but the Internet of Nanobio Things. And this is where they talk about, like, sensors being put inside of all of us, and they'll have complete, total control of all biometric data, and they will have a remote control over us through this. All this to say, this is part of their, so they're voting their digital global compact next week. They're doing it under the guise that we have to control and regulate hate speech and misinformation and disinformation. They've actually even proposed a potential 18th sustainable development goal, which they call responsible communication. I don't know that they'll pass it through, because they really love the number 17. You know, it's part of the Theodorus spiral. Right. They're Pythagoreans, right? And that's where the dialectic, because it overlaps at 17. So this is how you get the Alf Haven, the next rung on the dialectic, so that we can be unburdened by what has been, you right. know? So I don't know that they will, but that's part of their goal. And they're also, you know, talking about their 17 sustainable goals. This is in the Pact for the Future. And they say that they're behind schedule to reach their goals for Agenda 2030. They do talk about the United States being kind of a thorn in their side. So that's great. We need to keep doing that. But that is what they're pushing. And I think it's part of why they're trying to sneak this through right now. So that they, because they say it's a huge part of them reaching their Agenda 2030 plans.
Yeah, and again, I get how, from an outsider's perspective, it would sound crazy, but it's like, you got to understand, all of these things are intertwined. You know, hate speech and commodifying nature are a part of the same program, and if you can't, you know, see it with a bird's eye view, see all of these pieces, how they interact and you know, play together. Yeah, it might seem crazy that you go from talking about, well, they're trying to commodify pollen, you know, on your land as a natural process. Yeah. And, you know, that goes to, well, and actually they're trying to create lab grown food, so we can't actually grow anything. And also they want, you know, speech controls, and they want hate speech to silence you. And it's like, whoa, whoa, this is a ton of stuff. Well, it's all part of the same push towards total absolute control. Essentially, they want the world to run like a computer. They want the world to be able to, you put inputs, you put outputs. They want to eliminate uncertainty completely. And the bizarre thing is they have so many people, and it's like every billionaire is in on this. Every powerful person is like not just okay with this, they're like eagerly involved in this. And I don't know if it's some sort of narcissistic power game they're playing, where they think they're gods and they just want to control things for the sake of controlling it, whether they actually think this is good for people, but they do it through these words, these like seemingly benign words. And the two that jump to mind right now, sustainability and resilience. They love these words. And under these two words,
cooperation, the third one.
What would be the third one?
Cooperation.
Cooperation. They love these words, and it's like it's the same way they wield democracy. It's like, well, you say democracy, and now we're at war with Russia, and it's just the power of this word. They say resilience, or they say sustainability, or they say cooperation, and you know, suddenly they own the ants on your yard. It's wild how they use these words. Why is everybody into this? Are we missing something, Courtney? Is this a great idea that we just are too dumb to understand, or are these people perhaps? Evil in some way?
Well, I think there's a combination. I think that there is, as you said, there are these people who want complete and total control, and they think they will be the ones to have total control. So one of the things that Antonio Guterres, who, you know, he did his welcome remarks for this Pact for the Future and what it's going to be all about. And he talks about, now just to know, he was president from 1999 to 2005 of the Socialist International. So this goes, these words are Marxist terms, and they right. do that. That goes all the way back to Marx, right? The Socialist International. But he said how this is going to give them finite control for finite powers, emergency powers. Now we remember from COVID what that means, to yep. have complete control. In any kind of complex global shocks. And he kept saying, or global pandemic. See, he kept interchanging like they were interchangeable words. And so this is, I think, in part, to your point, I think some of it is, yes, these just, you know, psychopaths who want complete and total control. And they think that they are going to be the ones in charge because they think they really are superior somehow. And I do think they think they're gods. You know, I talked about the Theodore spiral and the dialectic. And this, to me, that Hegelian dialectic is a Gnostic Jacob's ladder. I think that this is a Gnostic worldview where they think a lot of the evolutionary leaders will say it's not pantheistic. They will say it's panantheistic because we have the divine spark within each of us and we are all gods, essentially. And I think that they are the ones who are consciously evolved. And so they have the gnosis and they know better than us. And they are going to help all of humanity evolve into the superorganism of, you know, humanity as opposed to individual humans. And they talk about, they're talking about right now the UN becoming UN 2.0 so that they can have more control, more power. They use the terms global governance, but they also talk about humans 2.0. They think that we need to evolve to the next stage of humanity, which is a transhuman agenda. I think some people, you know, I've heard people at the UN who feel like it's been a bait and switch because they really thought, you know, they use these slogans that sound so great. I mean, we're going to achieve world peace. It just happens to be that we need war in order to achieve peace.
Right.
And so they do feel like it's a bait and switch, and they thought they really were doing good. So I think some people genuinely believe it, and I think some of them are just honestly psychopaths who just want total control over everyone.
Yeah, and at a certain point, it really doesn't matter which is which. They just have to be stopped. Like, they just have to be stopped. And, you know, for people that watch my show, they'll recognize a lot of similarities and a lot of continuity between what you're saying and what our guest Lisa Logan last week was saying about social emotional learning and how all of this stuff is this mindset is being established in preschool and elementary school. It's inculcated. It's inside the syllabus and the you know entire agenda of the public school system. So they are priming humanity to accept this. And one of the things they love doing is demonizing capitalism because that's a very easy target. And you can essentially say, well, all of the suffering in the world is because of capitalism. So we have to tear down capitalism in order to usher in, you know, a great utopia. And a lot of people fall for this. And a lot of people, you know, see the excesses and the abuse under the capitalistic system, which are obvious and widespread. But the solution is to, you know, undo the socialistic inclination we've had over the recent past, not to do away with free trade itself and, you know, free association. But I don't want to, again, you know, this stuff is also involved. It's so widespread. But what we want people to take away with, because this is not just we're not just talking about this as observers. We want your participation. We need your participation. They're coming at us from every angle, and we need to be on constant, you know, defense against this. And we you know, eventually have to stop them all. But for the time being, we have to, you know, hold these defensive lines against their program. So you can go to my Twitter @HarrisonHSmith. You can go to Courtney's Twitter @CourtneyTurner. There. is a long article about this that you've posted with the link there from regulations.gov where you can go and comment on this. This is a call to action. People need to go comment and express their displeasure at the fact that they are trying to commodify nature itself. So I just want to hammer home, this is a call to action. We want everybody, because we did it last time and it was successful. So we're trying to do this again. Go there, comment, stop this horrific plan in its tracks. So I just want to refocus this, Courtney.
Yes. And I do want to address there are so many overlaps. I mean, you were talking about Cassell, right? That's John Fetzer actually believed that he could channel the Archangel Michael. And the reason he thought that was so important was because it would usher in the age of Aquarius. Now, if you go to the UN actually has a link to the Aquarian community page. So this is also tied in with the Lucius Trust. It is all intertwined. And the age of Aquarius is, they believe they're moving out of the age of Pisces, which was more individual. As you said, they like to demonize capitalism, which, of course, was a term that was popularized by Karl Marx to create clash and to create division. I'm all for, you know, the free market enterprise. I'm all for the ingenuity of the individual. Yep. But these futurists, right, people like Kissinger and Brzezinski, they talked about how they would use the, you know, these ideological clashes to pit them against each other for dialectical progressions, for operational success, so they could usher in their technocracy. And that is what they're trying to do right now with the AI World Society. They are trying to usher in a neo-feudal, techno-fascist, you know, one world order. That's their plan. So, and yes, this commodifying the air we breathe, it says so that we can become serfs, where on our own land, we won't own it. We won't have any rights or any purview over that land, which, you know, if you come from a biblical framework, but I think even if you don't, if you just believe in some sort of rational, you know, benevolent divine creator, then we have dominion over that land. And you can just see the fruits of that. Anybody who owns land, they tend to it and they produce on it and make it so much more beautiful than any federal park ever could. Because they care about it.
And of course, their claims are so absurd. I mean, I'm just thinking of the classic meme where it's like, you know, it shows a nice farm with the cows in the yard and the food growing. And it's like, this is environmentalism. And then it just shows this infinite sea of solar panels, you know, blotting out the earth. And it's like, this is not their ideas are bad anyway. Or the classic example I always bring up of the Drax power plant in the UK going, we were carbon free because we didn't burn any coal. When in reality, they're chopping down old growth forest in British Columbia, shipping it across the ocean and burning it for fuel. So it's not even like this is actually environmentalism. It's all a scam. It's a giant scam.
It's a scam. And there's so much money at stake. So remember with the NAC, they thought they were going to make upwards of $5 quadrillion. Like that's not even a number that we can fathom. We just cannot even conceive what that is. Right. And now they're saying that private land is worth $32 trillion and that somehow they're going to put it on the national, the national debt. They're going to leverage it as collateral. And there, this is all part of, so the UN created an accounting system, the SEEA, back in 2012, and most of the member states have signed on to it. The United States didn't, but back in January of 2023, the Biden administration did create their own version of it. And so this is the natural capital accounting, and they call it national strategy to develop statistics for environmental economic decisions. And so people can go and look up that document. It's a pretty lengthy document. But this is basically just making the American version of the UN's, like, voodoo economic accounting, environmental accounting system.
It is truly wild. The Sustains Act, it must be stopped. We need your comments. Courtney Turner, thank you so much for bringing us this information. Would not know it without you, folks. Courtney Turner on X.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95. That is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings of vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com, vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Joined shortly by Ian Terrell. Very excited to talk to him about the assassination attempt and some of the bizarre associations that the attempted assassin had in his life. Before we do that, we have a programming note. It used to be that we had, what, 4 commercial breaks per hour. We'd have 4 commercial breaks per hour. We went down to 3. Now we're down to 2. So we got a commercial break in the first 5 minutes, a commercial break halfway through the hour, which is great. It means we have more time to talk to you. It means we'll be, you know, interrupted less if we're in the flow talking about a story. It's definitely a positive for all of our viewers. We got to go to InfoWarsStore.com. But that means, you know, we're probably not selling as much as we could be. And for those of you that are new viewers of InfoWars, if you're just finding us on X, or if you're simply looking for an alternative message from the mainstream media, as you see what they're saying about the assassination attempts or any of their other just endless cacophony of lies, because I know after something like an assassination attempt or a terrorist attack or anything that, well, that the media lies about, people flock to InfoWars because they know that if nothing else, they're getting an alternative view, something different than you're getting from the mainstream or even more typical or well-respected dissident outlets. And so if you're here for the first time, I want to let you know InfoWars is brought to you entirely by viewers like you. InfoWars does not have big sponsorships. We've picked up a few very recently, and this is sort of a new thing for us associating with companies like where you can win the truck and, you know, buy the T-shirts and stuff. That's all sort of new to us. For the entirety of InfoWars' existence, 99.9% of what funds this outlet is InfoWarsStore.com. And we sell the products. They're private labeled. They're top of the line supplements. Also the T-shirts and the you know, preparation stuff, the storable food, the water filters, the air filters, all of that's top of the line. The supplements especially are the best stuff available on the market, private labeled, from companies that you would recognize. I mean, and it's funny because people go, oh, you're selling snake oil. And it's like, but you actually take this. It's like, this is the supplement that you love. You just bought it at some, you know, department store or grocery store, and you paid more for it than you could at InfoWars. So InfoWars is brought to you entirely by the audience. And it's a very simple system, and Alex set this up because this is what works, and he's been proven accurate in his, you know, foreseeing of the future. He knew that they would take us off the internet. He knew that what he was saying could not be countenanced by the totalitarian government that is slowly but surely being built around us. So we don't have subscriptions. The information is free. Everything we say on this show, everything we produce is free to air. Take it down, re-upload it, upload it yourself, make an account, get subscribers, make money. We don't care. Just get this information out. It's all about getting the information out. So the best way that we determined to get the information out was to make all of the content free and simply have our own store with our own products, because at the end of the day, the system itself relies on capitalism for the time being. I mean, they're trying to get rid of it, but for the time being, capitalism is still the engine that runs this country. And so at the end of the day, if you have something that you want to sell and somebody wants to buy it, there's not a lot the government can do to get in between you without making the product illegal. And none of this stuff's illegal. So it's all fantastic. It's all top of the line. Most of it's white labeled. Some of it is proprietary blends that you know, we make ourselves, and that's some of the best stuff if you want my take. But if you've ever bought a turmeric supplement, if you've ever bought, you know, something like Nitric Boost, I mean, it's the same stuff you'll get at the store, the top of the line, you know, highest quality products, but we sell it for less. We sell it at InfoWarsStore.com, and it keeps us on the air. It keeps Band.Video on the air. It keeps all of our content creators on the air and at work, all of the crew that runs this. And by the way, this crew, you guys, it is wild how talented. We have no teleprompters. We have no show plan. We react to news as it comes in, and yet somehow the crew is like more on top of it than crews at like late night shows. I remember working behind the scenes at a late night show one time, and I'll admit it's impressive the way that they do things, but it's very robotic. It's very much like they have the script. The guy reads the script, and then there's a director standing behind the switchboard calling out what comes up next. Okay, graphic one ready, graphic one up. Okay, graphic two ready, graphic two up. And it's going along while the you know, person behind the desk is talking. And it's just very – it's like – again, it's impressive because it's almost like military timing, just like exactly right. Hit this, hit that. Camera two, camera three, graphic two, graphic three. Like it's impressive, but it's robotic and it's stilted and it's pre-planned and it's packaged. That's not what you're getting in InfoWars. But the crew that we have is able to make shows look better than them, bring up content and things that we're referencing like before we even reference it. I don't even get how these guys do it half the time. They're mind readers. But it's important that we have a crew like this. It's important that we have studios like this. It's important that we show people that what's going on here is not some – we're not some fringe outlet. We're not some dude in our basement just rambling incoherently. What we're talking about is real. The effect that we have is monumental. The influence that we're able to wield in the positive for a better world, for the foundational morals of this country is, well, unparalleled. And it's all brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. So if you're just joining us for the first time, if you're just tuning into InfoWars, even as a curiosity, even if you hate us, even if you're just tuning into InfoWars because, you know, you're laughing at us for believing that, you know, the assassination attempt was real when you know that it was all fake. I mean, whatever. Who cares? Even if you hate us, like, you still need these products. Okay? That's the thing. And if you have people in your life that hate InfoWars, they don't need to know where their birthday present comes from, right? You can get them a water filter. They'll love it. They'll love it. And the products, it's funny. It's one of the things that, like, I find connections with people who would otherwise probably hate InfoWars because of what they've been told about us, because they don't actually know what we're about, but they've been told lies from the mainstream media. But it happens all the time at, like, parties or whatever. Tell you what, if you want to meet a cool, healthy girl, get into water filters. Chicks love water filters. It's amazing. Like, if you want to know a quality girl, ask her if she filters her water. I'm serious. She might not give a damn about politics. She might be a climate activist. Like, who knows? But if they care about health, if they care about nature, if they care about taking care of themselves or, you know, just not drinking poisonous swill out of the tap. It's so often that, like, I've had long conversations about, oh, you know, I was going to get the carbon filter, but I thought that this was a little cheaper. I didn't know if it was worth it. Well, you got to get this because this filters out this and this. It's very funny. Or, you know, talking to some hippie chick at a party and going, yeah, you know, they're poisoning the food and water. They're killing all the animals. They're like, I know, it's crazy. And it's like, yeah, we're supposed to be enemies. We're supposed to be on the opposite side. We're supposed to hate each other. You're supposed to think I'm a fascist. I'm supposed to think you're a communist. But it turns out we're on the same page. It turns out we believe that the earth is good and nature is wonderful and that the people poisoning it are evildoers that have to be stopped. So again, InfoWarsStore.com. You don't have to be an InfoWarrior. But if you are, you got to go to InfoWarsStore.com. But even if you're not, I still care about you. I still want you to be healthy. I still want you to be the best person you can be. And I don't want you spending all your money on trash. So instead of doing that, instead of buying at the big globalist box stores that will cheat you, go to InfoWarsStore.com, get a fantastic product. Nitric Boost is one of my new favorites. It's a vasodilator. Vaso meaning veins, dilation meaning getting bigger, right? So it actually can improve. Well, I don't want to make any medical claims. I'm not a doctor. So I'll just read the page here. It promotes the synthesis and discourages the degradation of nitric oxide, which is beneficial for cardiovascular function. It improves circulation and muscular performance. And basically it vasodilates. It makes your veins flow better, and it really is magical stuff. And I started taking it just sort of on a whim, and now I can't stop. I'm taking it every day. With that, I am very happy to be welcoming Ian Carroll. He's the founder and content creator behind Cancel This Clothing Company. You can follow him on X at Cancel Clo Co, on Rumble at Cancel This Conspiracy, and you can snag some new threads over at CancelThisClothingCompany.com. Ian Carroll, thank you so much for joining us on American Journal.
How's it going, Harrison? Good morning.
Good morning. It's going well. And of course, we played your video yesterday about some of the information that's been discovered about the attempted assassin. Alex played your video as well. So you've already been all over InfoWars today. I know you're coming on with Alex later this week, but I want to just have you on because you are extremely good at connecting the dots. And that's what we try to do here is we take all these little bits of information. We try to draw the information constellation, let people know what they're really looking at. What is your take on the assassination attempt here 2 days after the fact?
It's early still, obviously, but we've learned from the first attempt that the FBI is not going to do the job. And so it was really cool to see the internet mobilize and first archive all of his socials before they got taken down by all the platforms.
Yep.
And to start to do their best to draw connections. And I was just doing my best to draw connections between what everyone else was doing. And what I see looks an awful lot like another operation. It does not look like a lone gunman, both in terms of the way he had access to the location, the way he had intelligence about where to be at what time, when Trump had not announced that on his official schedule or in any other official way. His direct involvement in the conflict in Ukraine certainly indicates that he has a lot of contacts in intelligence or other military communities. And his criminal record clearly shows that this guy has been getting off the hook for crimes that should be putting him in prison. That seems to indicate more intelligence connections, whether he had them before those convictions or whether those were the inciting incident of a relationship with intelligence. I don't know. But everything that I'm seeing seems to preliminarily indicate that this guy was in some way affiliated with some sort of intelligence operation. And we don't know yet for sure, but people have been zeroing in on this woman in his following list that seems to have a lot of intelligence connections, that may have been a handler or a recruiter or some sort of contact in intelligence. So there's so many data points that point to him being more than just a crazy kook leftist. Mm-hmm. And the irony is that everyone else is trying to smear him as like some Trump supporter, which is so removed from the truth that it's almost laughable.
It's extremely laughable. It's so laughable. I want to cry. It's utterly insane. It's utterly insane that a person who waited for 12 hours with a rifle with the scope in the bushes to try to kill Donald Trump is being called a Republican and a MAGA supporter. It's so far beyond. But I think, you know, even in the absence of like solid concrete proof that he was associated with the intelligence agencies, the fact is the man is in a New York Times profile talking about using fake passports to move soldiers across borders from places like Pakistan. You don't do that without connections. You don't get away with doing that without some support from the intelligence agencies. So again, even if we don't have the exact phone numbers of the people he called or who he was in contact with, what he was doing with Ukraine and bringing soldiers in, that you can't do that without some intelligence cooperation. I mean, am I crazy in saying that?
Not at all. And it's also worth noting that his ACT Blue donations on his like donations history all show that he's unemployed. And yet somehow this man is flying to Ukraine on someone's dime, recruiting people on someone's dime. Like, those are not cheap things to do. All the logistics involved, the purchasing of fake passports is extremely expensive. Whatever's going on there, there's someone funding what he was doing. And I think that people that don't have an understanding of how intelligence operations work wouldn't understand like the depth of compartmentalization that happens in those operations. Mm-hmm. But it's very plausible. It's actually essentially the nature of the industry that there are cells of different operations happening that are not disclosed to other operations and like to the mainstream military complex. And so there's people in the Ukrainian forces that are trying to decry him as being like, he's not affiliated with us, we don't know him, he's total garbage. But that doesn't necessarily say anything to me, because what I'm seeing looks like a piece of sort of a cell, mm-hmm, that would be doing their own thing that is not directly related to trying to fight the main conflict, but rather trying to create splinter groups or rebel groups or who knows, fighting forces. And that certainly is the kind of guy that would wind up doing weird, special clandestine operations.
Yeah. And when you look at some of the developments in the Ukraine war recently, I mean, this was very strategically timed, I think. I mean, just this weekend, you have the allowing by US, the UK and NATO of Ukraine to launch long-range missiles deep inside Russia. Putin comes out and goes, this is, we're at war at that point. I mean, we played a report on this in the first 5 minutes of this show. They're telling people, don't cross this red line, you're going to get into World War III, and yet our leadership is driving headlong towards that. Now you have this Ukrainian extremist try to kill Donald Trump, who's the only person out there even talking about peace. I mean, how do you think this plays into the wider geopolitical chess game that's going on right now?
I mean, I think the tragedy is that it looks, every indication seems to point to them trying to start World War III before the election, because the election may be slipping away from them, even beyond their ability to fudge numbers and whatever else. And so trying to escalate the war in Ukraine is a tragic symptom of them trying to fast track their plan, basically what it looks like. And that's coming on all fronts, both from escalating the conflict directly with Russia, as well as apparently trying to assassinate allegedly trying to assassinate the one guy that is talking about stopping it, which is, I come from a leftist background and my family are leftists, and I live in a leftist place. So I'm surrounded by the way that the left thinks. And the tragic part there is that they all believe that the Republican Party is the war party. And that sort of is grandfathered in from the George Bush era. Yeah. And none of them have, the ones that believe these lies are the ones that are still watching mainstream news. And they have been told that that's still the same exact game and that Trump is just the representation of that. And so they ironically think that Trump is this like evil war candidate, like rapist, when in reality, the exact opposite is true. And they have all been swindled into supporting the war machine that they themselves protested their entire lives. And it's really sad to see people that I know and care about being so completely taken in by those lies.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I look around, I go, what did they do to you people? Like, what happened to you people? We used to be on the same side, at least in this regard of wanting to stop the war. And this is what I don't understand. I was never a leftist. Like, I was always conservative, but like, I was very anti-war, very anti-George W. Bush and McCain and these warmongering psychopaths that got us into the quagmires that we're just now barely extricating ourselves from. But when, you know, but I've just kept that. I'm just consistent, just anti-war. Just I keep being anti-war. And, you know, I voted for Obama thinking that he was the anti-war candidate. That was crap. That was total BS. So I go, OK, he's bad, too. Now, why can they not just see the world for what it is? Like, how are they so bad at identifying these obvious manipulations going on? And again, I know you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, but you know, part of me just goes, what the hell is wrong with you idiots? Wake up. How do we get through to these people, I guess, is my question.
That is such a – that question gets right to the heart of it, and I think it gets right to the heart of InfoWars network and philosophy, in that what I think is missing from their worldview is that most of these people, in my view, still see the world as Democrats versus Republicans, as a two-sided, you know, conflict of ideologies, when I think there's a certain level of research and willingness to ask questions for yourself required in order to realize that the establishment parties on both sides are the same. It is just two wings of the same bird, of the war party, the big pharma, all of the money captured both parties. And it's not that Trump represents the Republican Party now. It's that Trump undermined and took over the Republican Party because he spoke to their base, to the actual voters, and told and actually spoke their language. And he took the Republican voters away from the establishment Republican Party. And if you think back to the primary that Trump won, he was up against people like Jeb Bush. Right. And I think realistically, when you look back, they wanted a Jeb Bush in office, not a Donald Trump. And so Democrats have been sort of manipulated into thinking that Trump represents the Republican Party, when in reality, Trump represents this sort of splinter populist movement that is what we all truly believe, but has completely strayed from the establishment Republican Party. And that's why you get women like Nikki Haley out there that is essentially no different than a Democrat, that's trying to take the Republican Party back and thankfully failing miserably.
Right. And then, of course, you're left with these very bizarre situations where the liberals and the Democrats are cheering Dick Cheney for joining their party. And it's like, what is going on? I mean, I feel crazy.
Oh, man.
And you know, perhaps the most powerful part about this, because you're right, if 2016, if Donald Trump hadn't come down that golden escalator, we would have had Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, and the rest of us would have checked out. We would have gone, you know what, politics ain't for me, because it's a bunch of nonsense. And that's what they want. They want you not involved. They want you just rolling your eyes and going, whatever they do is fine. They're so pissed that Donald Trump has actually brought a giant spotlight onto politics and revealed their hypocrisy for what it is, which is sort of the perfect transition here, because Hillary Clinton is back on the scene. Hillary Clinton is out here saying, you know, we need punishment for disinformation. And that is really, I think, the most dangerous aspect. I mean, even aside the assassination attempts, what's more dangerous than a bullet is censorship and a lack of free speech. And obviously they are pushing at every level, internationally, nationally, at the local level. They are desperate to get rid of our ability to speak freely. Why is it that they're so afraid of just our ability to show what is true?
I mean, you're hitting right to the heart of it again, Harrison. It's such a good point, because when you're in easy times, it's easy to feel like the bottom line is violence and warfare and sort of that layer of civility. But now that we're in these times, I think it's very obvious to everyone as we're experiencing it that actually the most base layer is freedom of speech, because freedom of speech is freedom of thought, and freedom of thought allows for learning. It allows for the dissemination of truth and information. And there's no war that is fought below the layer of information. Information is how we understand what's happening in the first place. And so if you can control information, you can control anything. And so it's actually more critical from their perspective to control our free speech, because then they can control what we know, what we understand, and what we believe. And that is even more important than stopping war in the first place, because you can't stop war if you don't know who's on what side. You can't stop war if you don't know what's actually happening on the ground. And so them coming after free speech is the obvious play once you step back with perspective, or if you've been through this enough times. But now that we're in these times when they're talking about all the censorship openly, it becomes so much more obvious. And I think that that's actually going to be a great attack vector, so to speak, a great way to wake people up, because it's really hard to come after free speech without overtly sounding like a dictator and a tyrant. And although they're reasonably good at kind of carefully curtailing their messages,
yep,
I think that more and more they're starting to slip up and say things that are just like absolutely abhorrent and indefensible. And more Democrats that I know are having to ignore those statements rather than confront the actual implications of what's being said on that side.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Or somehow they convince themselves, well, like, because it's our side doing it, it's actually good. It's like, no, at the end of the day, it's censorship. It's, as you point out, the censorship steals your right to think your own thoughts, to understand the world around you. It is so despicable what they're doing here. I wish we had more time to talk, but I had to get you on at least for a little bit because you've been doing such great work compiling some of the information we found out about this assassin. But one thing I've noticed over and over, and we showed it in the Hillary Clinton clip, is the way that they cannot let conservatives actually believe anything. Everything has to be some underhanded. She goes, Trump's bringing this up just to rile up his base. It's like, no, we have actual concerns. Do you notice that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is like when you talk about the info war, that's tactic number one, is reframe everything in your own context and filter it all so that you have control over your constituents' understanding of the opposition, because the number one thing you have to do in this context is you have to dehumanize the opposition so that your party, your people, believe they're fighting evil. And that's true of every regime, every dictator, every tyrannical government in history. Is the number one thing you have to do is dehumanize the other side. And when you look at the rhetoric of the current left, it's so clear as day that
it's dehumanization. Man, you're so good at breaking things down. Ian Carroll at Cancel Cloco on X, canceldisclosingcompany.com.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com. Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Our norms are a promise that we will not allow this department to be used as a political weapon. And our norms are a promise that we will not allow this nation to become a country where law enforcement is treated as an apparatus of politics.
In league with the Department of Justice and the U.S. Bureau of Prisons, the Harris-O'Biden's regime is aggressively carrying out a treasonous violation of January 6 prisoners' Eighth Amendment rights, taking cruel and unusual punishment to the extreme.
My name is Jake Lang, and I have a message for Donald J. Trump. I'm a January 6th political prisoner. I've been held hostage by the Biden and Harris Department of Justice for 1,300 days without a trial. I'm being held in cruel and unusual, horrible, inhumane conditions.
I don't call them prisoners. I call them hostages. They're hostages.
The worst example of how the process can destroy a person is the story of 18 U.S.C. 1512 C2. It's a statute that imposes a 20-year sentence in prison for, quote, obstructing an official proceeding, whatever that means. This law gave the DOJ the power to charge misdemeanor conduct as a felony that carries with it a punishment of 20 years in jail. One of my clients, an honorably discharged military veteran with a wife and children, never committed a crime in his life, did not enter the Capitol on January 6th, did nothing that would rise to a misdemeanor at worst or above. He was charged with the 1512. Convicted by a D.C. jury, sentenced to 33 months in prison. 3.5 years after January 6th, the Supreme Court held that the 1512 indictments were invalid. So, whoops, sorry about that. He lost his freedom. He lost his job. He lost his money. He lost his reputation.
The destruction of government-issued property, lawfare waged against the real estate of prisoners, and reports of Guantanamo Bay-level abuse within the prison walls are horrifying and un-American.
The government and media have created an environment where a person convicted of a misdemeanor in D.C. loses their career, homes, benefits, freedom. The lies pick up steam from there. The destroyed on the lives of the citizens in this net political outcome, where the citizen participation is nothing short of a social terrorism aimed at conservatives.
Our home was raided by federal agents. My veteran husband awakened from his sleep with guns pointing at him. Items taken from our home for evidence that he used for employment, and those were never returned. My kids came home to no dad.
Contained in here is the re-education material that was provided to the January 6th defendants. And if you start reading through just the titles alone, you'll start to quiver. I did. Trump's crimes before he called for the attack on our democracy. Donald Trump, how he has attacked our democracy. These are actual lesson plans that were available to them in the jail.
I wanted to see firsthand the conditions that these J6 prisoners are experiencing. Unfortunately, they turned me away. I'm a member of Congress.
In 2021, after Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and others brought attention to the horrific conditions in the D.C. jail, the United States Marshals conducted an investigation of the jail. Those failures included water and food appeared to be withheld from detainees for punitive reasons. Inspectors observed large amounts of standing human sewage, urine, and feces in the toilets of multiple occupied cells. The smell of urine and feces was overpowering in many locations. The water in many of the cells had been shut off for days, inhibiting the detainees from drinking water, washing hands, or flushing toilets. Jail staff confirmed that water to cells is routinely shut off for punitive reasons. Detainees had observable injuries with no corresponding medical or incident reports available to inspectors. After the report was issued, the D.C. local government held an emergency meeting and confirmed the inspector's findings and even indicated that they knew about these conditions for years. They vowed to take action. That was 3 years ago.
As more and more J6 prisoners are released, the standard issue of belongings for those beginning again on the outside have been stripped by the cruelty of the federal government. Please support the J6 political prisoners. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Folks, welcome back. Third hour of the American Journal is on InfoWars.com. Band.video supports at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm joined in studio by the one and only Kyle Rittenhouse. He is, of course, a staunch advocate for the Second Amendment, widely recognized for his acquittal in 2021 after defending himself during the 2020 riots. Notable interviews from everybody who's anybody. You've been passionate about enhancing your skills at the shooting range and spending quality time training your beloved dog, Milo. Is in studio with us today, and I can confirm, a very good boy. His commitment to self-defense rights has also led him to speak at multiple universities, educating students on the crucial role of campus carry and the enduring value of the Second Amendment. You can follow Kyle on X at This Is Kyle R, and the website where you can get his book is RittenhouseBook.com. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for being here, and we got a lot of news to cover, including a crazy story that just broke that I want to get your take on, but you've been looking into this latest assassination attempt. The response to this has been absolutely insane. Just what's your overview of what has happened over the last few days with Donald Trump and this assassination attempt?
Well, he had an unannounced tee time to go play golf. He didn't make it public or anything. It wasn't in his schedule yet. There was a guy, I think I read a report that he was there for several hours prior.
They say he was sitting in the bushes for 12 hours.
And he's there sitting in the bushes, and I just don't know why there wasn't any, like, pre-scanning or going ahead until Trump was on the hole behind. And he just was able to go unnoticed with a long rifle, and it turns out the guy was a felon, so that dissolves the entire gun control argument of
right.
We need stricter gun laws. Well, people want guns, they're still going to get them.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious why Secret Service isn't flying drones around, doesn't have infrared, looking for these people, or even just watching surveillance cameras, because I'm sure Trump International has plenty of surveillance cameras to go around. So
right.
My curiosity is who's in on this and who's trying to kill him that's close to Trump's circle.
Yeah, it seems like this guy had to have some sort of inside information. How, you know, he even gets onto the golf course carrying a gun and that nobody saw him before that. It's very troubling, you know, just assuming that this is, you know, mistakes rather than malice. It would, you know, it's like one's not even better than the other. It's like something very wrong is going on here. And as you point out, you know, he's a felon, yet he gets his hands on this long rifle. He's able to get within 300 to 500 yards of Trump, which is, you know, a
pretty damn close.
Pretty damn close, definitely within range of a good sniper. But now they're not charging him for attempted assassination. They're not charging him for political. They're charging him for like federal gun crimes, for like being a felon owning a gun. Why do you think they're going so light on this, on the charges? I mean, it might change later, but so far they're not actually charging him with like attempted assassination. What do you think the politics are behind that?
You know, there's a weird thing. This guy is a prior felon for prior gun crimes. He right. was given slap on the wrist, never really did any real prison time.
He got probation for a weapons of mass destruction charge.
I'm very curious what the government classified as a mass destruction.
I read yesterday, I think it was like a belt-fed machine gun. It was some sort of like machine gun or minigun or something that he had. So I guess that's determined to be a weapon of mass destruction. But yeah, but as you're saying, he no jail time, just slap on the wrist for that.
Yeah, and there's other people like FFLs, manufacturers, who do legally acquire these weapons, and then sometimes like their FFL will lapse or something happens, but then they are felons getting 20, 25 years in prison.
Right.
This guy was given probation. I don't think we should have gun laws to begin with, but this just proves it does not work. Why was he able to get that close to the president? Why was he able to get undetected? Why are they trying so hard to kill him?
Yeah. No, it's very scary, and you know, obviously there are some people trying to turn this into a gun control issue, saying, oh, well, you know, all these guys have assault rifles or some sort of long gun, and that's the real danger here. I think at this point, like, why do they even suggest gun control? Like, we know from their own language, they are like when you get them to be honest in front of a mic, they're sitting there going, we need to take their children and send them to camps, and it's like, we know who you are now. Nobody on the conservative side is under any illusion about how you are going to treat us the instant we're, you know, can't defend ourselves. I don't think they're ever going to get gun control passed. Even the people, you know, conservatives that might go, well, but, you know, these school shootings are pretty bad and we need to, I can get rid of my rifle. Like, nobody's getting rid of their guns now. We know how crazy the left is. We know how vile and vicious and despotic they're going to be. They're never getting the guns. Why do they even try?
Here's my thing. I think they're just trying to make it to where they're just going to go in and start arresting everybody, because we had Kamala Harris, who promised if she's elected within the first 100 days, if Congress doesn't act and pass an assault weapons ban, that she's going to take action by executive order, essentially disarming every single American. And that is a very scary thought to have. Somebody willing to take executive order to take away our constitutional rights that we have in place to stand up against a tyrannical government.
Right.
And that's a tyrannical government move.
Yeah. And again, I don't think people are under any illusion anymore. When you see the modern federal government going, we're going to go take your guns, there's not a person out there anymore that doesn't think, all right, what's next? What comes after you take the guns? Because you're not ending there.
I mean, we see what's happening with the Venezuelan gangs and the Haitians coming in to the United States. How are we supposed to protect ourselves when they start attacking American citizens? Are we expected to wait and call 911 and wait 8 to 9 minutes for an officer to respond? Or in some cities, not even respond at all? No, it's our responsibility to protect our own lives, and we shouldn't trust the government to protect our lives.
And it's just so I mean, the last few months have been just a whirlwind of insanity, and it's like the stuff just gets forgotten about because the new big bombshell comes forward. I mean, even just this weekend, I had so much information about the Haitians and the Venezuelans. I had all this stuff to cover, and then there's an assassination attempt Sunday afternoon. And it's like, all right, forget all that. We're going with the assassination on Monday. And then, you know, it was just a few weeks ago that people in Britain were rioting and protesting this mass murder of little children with this knife men stabbing people. And that whole time we're watching it, you know, us Americans are going, this is why you need guns. Where are your guns? Because you're peacefully protesting. You're innocently expressing yourself only to find yourself locked behind bars for 2 years while the Muslim gangs are running around with giant, you know, rods and bats beating random people. This is what happens when you disarm a populace. And we can't let it happen here. I think the more instances like this take place in the UK, the more people understand the value of not just the First, but the Second Amendment as well.
Absolutely. It's insane. Like, I won't even leave the country just because
right.
I'm a gun owner. I carry a gun wherever I go. And, like, I want to be protected. There are people that want to cause harm to me, and I have a right to protect myself. And everybody does, and that's why I like think people need to get more involved with the Second Amendment. They need to follow more grassroots organizations, and they need to put pressure on Rhino politicians, Rhino Republicans and Democrats, and making sure we're not getting Democrats voted into office to maintain our sacred Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you also have an obligation to protect yourself. Like, to me, I think maybe some of what we've lost in this country is this idea that, like, having a gun, being able to defend yourself, it's, I don't want to call it like a point of pride. It's like, you're like a real human being then. You're like a sovereign individual. You're not a subject. You're a man. You're a person. There's something about it that is, it's like you have honor. You have self-sufficiency. There's something degrading and, it's degradation to be an unarmed, defenseless slave of the other people who do have guns, which of course the police and the army are always going to have guns. So it's beyond just, you know, the physical reality of, like, I want to be able to defend myself. There's something like moral and spiritual about your ability to defend yourself, your ability to stand up against evil, your ability to fight back that I think we've lost in this country.
Absolutely. A lot of people aren't willing to carry a firearm for protection. And I think it's the responsibility of most men and households, head of households, to have that ability to protect their family, to have the tools ready to be able to protect their wife and their children. Not a lot of people are willing to do that. And it just shows how many cowards are out there in this world.
Yeah, it really is pathetic. But like I said, I think the gun control ship has sailed. I don't think anybody's going to fall for their crocodile tears anymore, because that's what they are. They just want you disarmed. They want you defenseless. They want you incapable of standing up for yourself, and they'll couch it in whatever language they need to. It's all a lie. And so, it's intrinsic. It's our God-given right. Argument over, right? We don't have to have this argument anymore, because it's pretty simple. Nobody's giving up their guns willingly. They're talking about a volunteer buyback. No, that's not going to happen. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's going to fall for it. And you can't take our guns, because we have guns, so like you can't force us to do that. So it's just an impossibility at this point. I think they should leave that and pursue other forms of tyranny, because that one's not going to work.
Absolutely. I mean, I just wish they would stop trying to pass new gun control laws. They're trying to do it in Texas all the time, which is unfortunate. And I find it very ironic with some of these politicians who just lie utterly through their teeth. We have Kamala Harris during the debate who said to President Trump, "I've never said I've taken assault weapons. Me and Tim are both gun owners." Well, I don't believe that for a second. So Tim Walz reminds me of Elmer Fudd. So he's like the NRA poster child.
I can see that. Yeah, that's good. And of course, then she comes out with, posts on Twitter and Instagram, end assault weapons, ban assault weapons. So they just blatantly lie. I think we need a charge of something like attempted tyranny, because that's what they do. They try to pass gun control, and if it doesn't work, they reword it, and they try again, they try again, they try again. At a certain point, we have to just be like, stop. Just stop trying to take our rights. We have to stop you from even attempting this. I don't know if it's possible. Legally, we may need a lawyer in here to figure out how this would work. But attempted tyranny, I think, should be a charge that we should.
Attempted tyranny. What would the punishment be for attempted tyranny?
I think tarring and feathering. I want to bring back the old school stuff.
Tarring and feathering. So public embarrassment.
Public embarrassment. The tar can be just hot enough to, not be too comfortable. But, I'm old school like that. Yeah. Tarring and feathering. I think that's the perfect punishment for attempted tyranny. The other thing people are always asking, especially like with InfoWars, they're like, what can we do? I want to get involved. I hate just hearing about this stuff, or even just talking about this stuff is so frustrating. I think people need to get involved in neighborhood watches. I think there needs to be like a big neighborhood watch movement throughout the country where you just get together with your neighbors and you just go, look, there's five of us. We'll each take a night a week. We walk around, we patrol, we make sure everything's safe, we call the cops if there's any problem, but we're armed and we can help each other, and you've got the first aid kit and you've got the experience as a firefighter, and this guy over here's got all the guns, and we can all come together and make our neighborhood safer and protect the innocent people from the chaos that is continually streaming in. Do you think that's a good idea? Like, how do you think we could get that going on a national scale?
Oh, that's a great thing to have, a community watch program, and but also just like having a community in general, having right. like five or six friends, your closest friends that you go out and train with, that you know if something happens that you can go in, bunker down with them and like go into hiding, get off that grid. But having a watch program or a community watch program is great because all your neighbors are together and that builds that community. It lets your other people coming in that, hey, we're not to be messed with.
Yeah.
And it sends a message that we are not going to be victims. So I think it's a great idea to have community watch programs, especially armed ones.
Yeah, right. And
don't do it under an HOA.
Right, yeah, don't do it. Yeah, I don't know if the HOA will like that, but it's your constitutional right, so you can do it. And you know, it's just for peace of mind, if nothing else. And I miss my neighbor moved. I used to have a neighbor that just all day, every day, all night, he just was working on his car. He just loved working on his car. He was always out in the driveway. And to me, it was like, you know, if I saw like a suspicious car go by or something, I was like, it's cool. My neighbor's out there. He's watching. You know, he and I are bros. He's not going to let someone mess with me. He's going to, you know, keep an eye out. It's just it's a sense of comfort to know that like your neighbors are on your side. They know who you are. They know who should and shouldn't be coming and going. And you can just have that extra level of like I can sleep comfortably at night. And I don't have to worry about some you know car full of thugs like breaking into my house and
or a Haitian coming to eat your cat or dogs.
Or a Haitian coming to eat your cat or dogs, or a Venezuelan stealing stuff out of your garage like we've seen videos of. I mean, and yeah, and it's not just the immigration, right? It's the fact that people are getting away with insane crimes. Now, we just covered a story earlier. A woman killed a 3-year-old kid and they go, well, she's mentally incompetent, so she'll go live a comfortable life at a hospital for the rest of her life.
To where they said she was too incompetent to stand trial.
Too incompetent to stand trial.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That was insanity.
So we're seeing more and more just the lack of real justice in this country. And you know, people know that you can't trust the cops to come protect you in Austin. You know, they won't even come if the person isn't, you know, on your property actively threatening you. If you just call and go, hey, I just got broken into, they'll maybe send somebody the next day to file a report. But they're not interested in finding the people or preventing the crime. So it's going to fall on citizens.
I mean, you see the Soros-funded DA in Travis County.
Exactly.
He just prosecutes innocent people. And I forget what it was, but I think it was 12 officers that were just falsely prosecuted by this DA out here. And it's a problem because none of the cops want to be cops out here.
Right.
They're here just sitting in their squad collecting a pension at
yep.
this point because they're scared to be police.
Yeah, why would they be? And I especially in 2020, I was listening to a lot of like police scanner stuff. And you hear what these guys respond to. And it's, you know, I'm laying in my bed at 1 a.m. and I hear, you know, come over the radio like there's a naked woman with a machete in the bayou. And you need to, you know,
she's taking some bath salts.
Yeah. She's on bath salts. She's, you know, attacking a dog, whatever it is. Yeah. And all those drops have been charged, but they went through just absolute hell before it was finally all dropped. But yeah, you just sit there, and I'm laying there on my bed going, thank God I'm not the one responding to this. Like, thank God there are police out there who actually will go deal with some of these crazy people that are on our streets now. And you know, you're going to do that and then get demonized and then get arrested and then get, you know, prosecuted by your own DA. Why would somebody want to be a cop? They're destroying law and order in this country.
Absolutely. And, like, there's been so many law enforcement officers who have been persecuted
yeah.
for things that haven't been their fault. We look at Derek Chauvin, for an example. Of
brutal
being accused of murdering George Floyd when George Floyd had enough fentanyl in his system to kill an entire school.
Totally political persecution. He was doing what he was trained to do, and he's been stabbed in jail 27 times, stabbed by a former FBI informant. I mean, just a total lynching. I mean, this guy was lynched. Derek Chauvin was legally lynched by the system as a sacrifice to Black Lives Matter to try to, you know, appease their bloodlust. It's disgusting.
It really is. And it's unfortunate to where we have come in our country.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really despicable. Now, we're going to do a big shift here because this just broke. And I just saw this right before we went live. And this story is crazy, folks. If you haven't seen this, more than 1,000 people have been wounded in Lebanon as the explosion of wireless communication devices hits the country. So apparently Hezbollah uses pagers, and Israel somehow hacked these communication devices and caused them to explode in their handheld devices. So this is crazy. Like, I remember back in the day, you know, people would – they would go, well, if you have a computer, it can be hacked and blown up in your house. And that was never true, I thought. But apparently this is possible? This happens? Like, the story's still developing from Zero Hedge. Hundreds wounded, dead in Beirut after Israel remotely detonates Hezbollah pagers. And they're saying other handheld devices like phones are exploding in their pocket as the result of a large-scale cyber hack. I've never even heard of something like this happening. This just broke. What's your take on this, Kyle?
That I just took my cell phone out of my pocket.
Yeah, right? That's – my God. They're using – I mean, we know they spy on us. We know they're listening to us. We know they're geolocators. But now they're little bombs sitting in our pockets? This is like a Black Mirror episode.
You know, it really makes me not want to carry a cell phone, and I think this is going to be my new excuse to –
to be off the grid.
Just like get rid of my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't disappear. Have a phone anymore.
Yeah.
Go old school. Send me a letter.
Yeah, I don't want to get blown up by Israel, I guess. So residents said explosions were taking place even 30 minutes after the initial blasts. A borderline literally incredible story from Lebanon where Reuters is reporting that a simultaneous mass attack on Hezbollah members was Israel hacking their pagers. Crazy. And, you know, I know groups like Hezbollah will use pagers because they're much less accessible than things like cell phones, right? They don't have the listening devices. They're old school for the same reason that like doctors still use pagers, like old school pagers. There's just applications where these things are useful,
mm-hmm.
but they're blowing them up. I'm just in shock. This is even taking place. Local hospitals are said to be inundated with victims as well as groups of family members rushing to entrances to try to find out what's going on. This is crazy.
That is insane.
Who knew?
I'm just curious on how they managed to make the phones and pagers blow up.
Right.
Like, did they figure out how to overheat the lithium battery in it? It's very interesting.
I guess that would be it.
I just don't know how you randomly make a phone explode.
Some people are suggesting War Monitor on X says, I doubt it's some technological strike, most likely explosives planted inside the pager. That seems crazy to me that they're like manufacturing pagers with explosives in them to be remote detonated later. I mean, maybe.
That sounds a little far out there.
But this is wild. I'm not going to show you any of the videos of the actual explosion. They're apparently very gory. But yeah, this is being reported as a cyber attack where pagers are exploding in people's pockets and sending. I think it said 10 people have been killed, hundreds wounded by this. I'm going to continue to try to find out more information about this. So that was one of the video. Can we play that again? Was that, I missed that. I want to see this take place. I want to see how big this explosion. Wow. So maybe not enough to kill you, but definitely if it was like next to your head or something.
Hurt.
That's wild. Now, you know, if they're pagers, I imagine they're built with old technology. So they probably don't have the lithium batteries that. And we've seen videos of that where a lithium battery will explode. And I mean, that can be mad. I mean, that could take down an airplane if a little lithium battery explodes. So I guess it's a new danger that we now have to be aware of, that apparently hackers can blow up your pager in your pocket. We'll try to find more developments on this. But this is a bizarre new world we're in.
It really is. It's making me think, like, how are people going to use this attack that just happened in, like, the U.S. to attack U.S. citizens, to attack other people? Is this going to be a new theme, blowing people's up, blowing cell phones up? That's what's getting me thinking. Okay, are they going to start blowing up my cell phone?
Right. Is this going to start happening? And if it does, is there any way to find out who's behind it? I mean, it's hard enough to find out, you know, who's hacking you. And we know America is extremely vulnerable to hack attacks with hospitals and all sorts of like city governments being taken down with, you know, hostage where they basically take your whole system hostage and threaten to delete it without being paid. And those people are rarely ever caught. If your cell phone explodes, are they even going to be able to tell if it was a hack or just a malfunctioned battery? This is bizarre new information that we're just dealing with in real time. We'll be back on the other side of a short commercial break with Kyle Rittenhouse. Follow him on X at ThisIsKyleR and RittenhouseBook.com. That's RittenhouseBook.com. We'll talk about his new book. We'll talk about what he's up to here in Austin when we get back on the other side. Stay with us.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Match Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
The eugenicists over 100 years ago were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have the communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions are coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products, and for 40% off, some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. Kyle Rittenhouse is in studio with me. You can find him on X at This Is Kyle R. And RittenhouseBook.com. Tell us about your book, your new book, Acquitted. It can be found at RittenhouseBook.com. Tell us what made you want to write this book and what people can find in it.
Well, absolutely. So I wanted to get my story out there in whole, unfiltered, unedited. So I went ahead and I put a book out there. It's a tell-all story. I dive into my life, the shooting, the after shooting, some of the people I met along the way, and what I'm doing now. I'm not going to dive into the entire book, but it's available at RittenhouseBook.com. But my favorite part is it's dedicated to my dog. So right in the front page, it has dedicated to my best friend Milo with his paw print stamped right in the front. And I think it's a pretty good read. And I think I've heard a lot of good feedback on people saying, wow, I didn't know that. Wow, the media lied to me, because the media lies to people.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's just a book about my story, and you can learn more about my life in it.
Well, I think it's fascinating and very, very admirable how you have, you know, chosen to sort of stay in the public spotlight. I would not have blamed you for a second if your, you know, reaction after the trial and everything was just to move to Hawaii and change your name and just totally divorce yourself. But, you know, and you're such a young guy, but I think it's...
I like my gun rights. Hawaii doesn't have good gun rights.
Okay, well, maybe not Hawaii. Yeah, move to rural Idaho then. But you've chosen to stay in the public eye, and that is very difficult, especially for someone like yourself who has been lied about so much and has, you know, unwittingly and against your will been made such a divisive figure.
Well, you guys experience it on a firsthand, especially Alex, with all the defamation that comes across you guys and all the cancel culture and the censorship.
But we chose this. I feel like it's a little different with you, because you didn't choose, you know, to be thrust in the spotlight like that. You didn't choose to be attacked by those people. So, you know, I feel like it's a little different for you. And why is it so important that you know, use the sort of unfortunate celebrity that you've gotten? Why is it important to you to use that to advocate for the Second Amendment and our other, you know, basic human rights?
Well, there's so many people out there that are so uneducated about the Second Amendment. I believe everybody has a sacred right to live, and they should have the ability to protect themselves. I don't want to see another victim out there. I think an armed society is a safer society. I think if criminals knew that the person they're going to rob or break into their house, that if they had guns and they were prepared to use them, crime would plummet.
100%.
It would go down a ridiculous amount. And I've been able to be a good advocate for the Second Amendment because I have firsthand experience of the government coming after me, of right. being put on trial for political persecution, of being attacked and having to defend myself. And it's just an issue that's very near and dear to me and that I care about very much, and I want to continue to advocate and fight for because of how important it is to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just the viciousness that comes out from the supposedly loving liberals the instant that you know, somebody gets their ire, like they'll cry and weep and gnash their teeth at you know, some guy overdosing on fentanyl. But when it comes to Kyle Rittenhouse defending himself, they're just like, blood, give us blood, kill him. It's horrifying. And yeah, you've experienced that way more than we have. Let's just be honest. We get, you know, they don't like us. They try to take us down, but, we've never been on trial for our lives. So, yeah, your story is so unique, and I'm glad that you've been able to tell it, in your own words. Rittenhousebook.com, and it's called Acquitted, right?
Yes,
title it. Acquitted. So I'm still just reeling at this, this story out of Lebanon. Hezbollah members wounded in Lebanon when pagers explode. And I've got some more information about this. Not a lot of this is confirmed. The hospital at the American University in Beirut reportedly took all pagers out of its nurses and doctors, took all their pagers of their nurses and doctors about 10 days ago and replaced them, according to employees of the hospital. That's kind of strange. And, apparently, a bunch of like officials have been injured by this. The Iranian ambassador to Lebanon has been injured in this attack. Lebanese officials have been gagged from speaking to the press. The American government is not issuing a statement yet. The Iranian ambassador was injured. The number of wounded has reportedly risen to 1,500, which I think is even higher now. So yeah, this is just wild. I've never heard of anything like this. The first fatality has been reported out of Lebanon due to the attacks. It was a 10-year-old girl. And I know you were asking during the break, like, was this a targeted thing? But I mean, if you're just blowing up, as we saw there, a pager in a random grocery store, there's no way you can guarantee that's not going to hurt innocent people. And apparently, you know, a 10-year-old girl has died so far. This is just not something I expect. I mean, we talk about cyber attacks all the time. We think about, you know, taking down information flow, taking down the internet, silencing people, shutting down the power grid. Like, these are all major dangers. But this has to be the first time that I could think of where apparently they've hacked devices and caused them to explode in people's pockets. I don't know. You know, with this and then some of the drone technology they have, I mean, warfare is a different game these days. It is not your grandpa's world war that we're entering into right now, and it's very troubling. I don't know how you defend yourself against something like this.
Throw away your cell phones and live off-grid.
There you go. Or maybe get a privacy pouch at InfoWarsStore.com. Maybe if that'll work. I assume that would work because they're getting signals that make it explode. Multiple hospitals in Lebanon are reportedly overloaded with injuries. U.S. officials are not responding. Apparently, Lloyd Austin is on his way to Israel. I think tomorrow he'll be meeting there. An unnamed U.S. official told Russia today, from the initial information that Israel has taken this unusual step, all Hezbollah forces in the Middle East will launch an attack on Israel from Yemen to Lebanon. SNN is alleging that the Iranian ambassador has been injured in the pager bombing across Lebanon. So, and this is a developing story, and it just broke right before we went live with Kyle. So, you know, we'll bring you any information that we have as it comes in. But this is apparently a giant terrorist attack across Lebanon that is extremely, extremely concerning. Now, we'll bring you more information as it develops. But I want to go to a video now. It's gone totally viral over the last 12 hours or so. You haven't seen this yet, so I'm excited to get Kyle's response to this. It is, I believe, the person who handles the New Hampshire Libertarian Party Twitter. I think that's who this is. His name's Jeremy. I don't find his exact name here. But he was approached by the FBI, and they're doing this a lot now. I don't know if you've seen the videos, but Oklahoma, for some reason, is like a big hotspot for this. But people film themselves, and the FBI is coming up to them, identifying themselves as FBI agents, and saying, we just want to ask you a few questions about what you've posted online. Apparently, they didn't do it to the Ukrainian soldier of fortune that just tried to kill Trump. He's not on any lists, apparently. But anybody post
the guy threatening to kill Trump a couple years back.
Yeah, but that's, you can threaten to kill Trump. They don't care about that. It's when you, insinuate, Kamala Harris is a tyrant. That's when they come after you. So have you seen these videos of the FBI agents wandering around asking people about what they post online?
I've seen a few of them. I haven't paid much attention to it. My thing is that the FBI comes to talk to me. I invoke my Fifth Amendment rights, and they know who my attorney is.
So right.
I recommend that to everybody. Don't talk to the feds.
Yeah, you shouldn't talk to the feds. And frankly, I think this Jeremy figure that we're about to watch confront the FBI, he may have been a little bit too friendly to them. Let's go to this video of the FBI knocking on the door of this libertarian and the shutdown he slaps them with. Let's watch.
Hey, how can I help you?
So here come the FBI agents. Looks like sort of a suburban neighborhood.
Who are you?
I'm Agent O'Donnell with the FBI.
Can you give your full name, please?
I'm Agent O'Donnell with the FBI.
Is that sufficient to identify? Is there only one O'Donnell affiliated with the FBI?
In New Hampshire, yes.
Could you please state your full name, sir?
Could you please stop recording?
No. It's First Amendment right. Okay. What's your name, sir?
Could you stop recording, please?
Absolutely not. You can show me your name and identification, or I'm going to go back inside my house.
Please stop.
I don't really want to broadcast my...
this is going out right after you guys walk away.
That's why I'm not
going to. So you can show me your name or ID. You can walk away.
Yeah. We just want to talk to you.
Wouldn't be a jackbooted thug.
I'm not going to talk to people who claim to be federal agents unless they can show me identification.
Okay, well, you see our badges.
I need to see. Is your full name on that badge?
No.
I'd like to see something with your full name, or I'm not going to talk to you.
I prefer you not to broadcast it.
This will be going online as soon as you walk away.
Well, all I want to do is talk to you about a post that was made, and if you happen to be the one that made it.
I want to talk to you about you guys coming here. Say you make a salary of, I don't know what, low 100K? You guys making six figures? Factor in 50% expenses, overhead, maybe 100% expenses. Talking about burning a couple $100 an hour just here, let alone all the time you guys are spending to investigate something that you know is not against the law, right? Like, you're familiar with... So then why would you come?
Because we wanted to make sure that there weren't any...
No, you're coming because you're part of a regime that does this kind of thing when you know laws aren't being broken. And that's an embarrassment, man. Didn't you guys read the Constitution? Do you not believe in America? Sir, like, how do you do your jobs and go home?
We appreciate it.
You're walking away. Because nothing we did is against the law, and you guys are fuckheads that try to act like bullies. And I hope you go home and are embarrassed. You can't even say your name on camera, because you know that what you're doing is embarrassing. You know Americans that believe in the Constitution think you're laughable. And you go home and you think about what you did today. Go home and think about it, you cowards.
That's my favorite one.
Drive away.
That's fantastic. You go home and think about what you've done.
You're not welcome. You should be embarrassed.
It should be embarrassed.
Embarrassing. You guys are embarrassing.
No federal plates, by the way. So not an official FBI vehicle.
That's right. He drives away.
So there you go. That is a masterclass in how to treat the feds when they come to talk to you about your free speech. Well, one of the weird things about that is the guys get in the black car at the end, but they start out across the street by that other car. So I was kind of confused by that. Like, what were they doing before this guy started filming? Like, why are they way over there?
Probably trying to talk to his neighbors, get inside.
Oh, maybe so.
Information, trying to be like, hey, like, he's an extremist, right?
Right. So Jeremy Kaufman is that guy's name. He posted that. It's gone totally viral. Everybody, you know, celebrating him. A couple things that people had said about this that I think are good observations is they don't want you recording because they want the only record of their interaction with you to be the notes. And we know from some of the FBI shenanigans that have gone on recently, they can actually revise those notes 6 months later, up to 6 months after the interaction. And, you know, if you don't have a recording of it, you can't really, you know, say that what they're saying is false. And we know that, you know, they'll question you about things. And if you think you're being honest, if they can catch you in a lie or a mistake, they can charge you with lying to an officer and throw you in jail for that. So
absolutely. I mean, we saw in my trial with Nathan DeBruin, who was talked to by the state, the government, and he gave a statement to the police, and then the government pulled him in and tried to change his statement several months later. So
right.
It's a very common thing with them trying to change your statement or physically changing your statement.
Yeah. So what's your take on this video? That was your first time seeing it. Obviously, you know, this guy knows his stuff and knows what he's doing. And people are asking, you know, how did you stay so calm? And he said, well, I practice asserting my rights, you know, at a lower level. And so then when something like this happens, I can be confident in asserting my rights as I know them. What's your take on this video, just watching it for the first time?
Well, it's good he didn't talk to the feds. I probably would have handled it differently, just personally, of how I am. I don't like a big confrontation. I would have just told the feds that I'm not going to talk to them and they're not welcome on my property and slammed the door in their face.
And you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to say? And, you know, they do have to identify themselves, because how easy would it be for me to go to someone's house and go, hi, I'm a federal officer. You need to let me in. That's not to say you can't just let somebody in because they say they're an officer. Like, they have to prove it to you.
And even if they say they're a federal officer, don't let them in.
Right. Even then. Officer. Yeah. Yeah. True. Even
but
then.
If they are an actual Fed, even more reason not to talk to them.
Right. Yeah. Ask somebody if, you know, for identification. That way you can be sure you don't want them in your house because they are who they say they are. A Fed. But I mean, what do you think? Is this just intimidation, do you think? Are these guys actually, you know, convinced that what they're doing is protecting Americans, or, you know, are they just, like this guy was insinuating, just collecting a paycheck and sort of selling their souls?
I believe they are collecting a paycheck and selling their souls, working up for that big promotion, trying to just climb up the chain in the FBI. But I'm just hoping when President Trump is elected that he does a complete reform of all three-letter agencies, and I'm hoping maybe some of them get dissolved.
Yeah, at the very least, or at least turn towards the actual threats, not, you know, libertarians in New Hampshire posting edgy memes, but, you know, the people that are actually involved in Antifa and these widespread criminal networks that are, you know, are well-funded.
Peaceful protesters, Antifa?
Yeah.
Peaceful, mostly peaceful.
The mostly
fiery.
Peaceful, fiery protesters. Yeah, those guys never seem to get in any trouble unless they, like, actually, like, Molotov cocktail a cop's head, and then maybe they'll be charged for it. But
well, we did just see a very shocking conviction come out of Oregon a few weeks ago. We had this Antifa ring pen leader get convicted for several things,
yeah,
which was very, very pleasant to see some justice, especially out of that nasty, disgusting state.
Yeah, seriously. And again, it's one of those things where, like, the list of things that she was convicted on and the other things that she's been involved in. It was the woman, right? It was the woman. Yeah.
The woman.
I mean, it's like, yeah, eventually they have to do something. But, you know, for the vast majority of these people, they're out there literally posting insane stuff online, and they never get a knock on the door because I guess it's not a threat to the powers that be. So
yeah, I'm really curious the memes that those feds have on their phone.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, interesting.
I have some law enforcement friends, and I know they have some messed up memes. So
right,
like they're posting that meme, but you have this that is about 100 times worse.
Yeah,
which is their right to have it. We have a First Amendment right.
But the hypocrisy,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And. You know, I'm always sort of torn. One thing I think people don't realize about the FBI is the vast majority of agents start off as lawyers and prosecutors and DAs. They aren't, you know, people think of like, I don't know, like a Men in Black or something where it's like the best police officer in the NYPD gets to be an FBI agent. But it's like, no, most of these guys have spent most of their lives in courtrooms. It's a very legalistic organization. It's law enforcement, but they aren't like super cops. They're super lawyers is what they are.
Oh, absolutely. Not realize that. They're looking to put you in prison for a very long time. Like the feds, they when they come after you, they're looking to bury you.
Yep. And they don't do anything half measure for sure. So, yeah, good for Jeremy Kaufman. I think I'm not going to say it'd be fun, but I don't know. He seemed like he had fun, you know, telling these. It's fun to assert your rights. It's fun to, you know, remember you're an American.
It really is. And it's like people should take a sense of pride in asserting their rights.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk to the cops. It's common sense. They're not there to help you. They're there to build a case against you and put you in prison.
Yep.
So even if you, like, did something or didn't do something wrong, don't talk to them because they're going to use it against you. And, like, your silence, they can't use against you.
Right.
Like, your silence is the best thing you have.
Yep, 100%. That's why they say the Miranda rights. I mean, that's a very real thing. You have a right to remain silent. You should exercise that right. And, I'm always reminded, I always bring up this instance where there's a Chinese guy, and he's talking about they were trying to book Xi Jinping wanted to do, like, a book release in America, and they wanted it at some coffee shop or bookstore in D.C. And the owner was like, no, I don't want the communist dictator to have, you know, and when the Chinese guy who was in charge of facilitating this is relaying it, he's going, the arrogance of the American to think he can deny Xi Jinping. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's a little arrogant, but that's what it is to be an American. I don't give a damn if you're the king of England or the dictator of China. It's my right to kick you out of my store. And absolutely, like asserting that is such a powerful flex of humanity.
You know, what a lot of people don't realize is we have the right to kick anybody out of our school, our stores that we want. Like if we're a private owned business, we have that right. We have the right to refuse service and deny that. We don't have to respect, like I don't have to respect your First Amendment rights or any of your rights to be a fact because I'm not a government entity.
Right.
It's the government's job to respect our rights. And not a lot of people realize that.
100%. And I also, you know, I see the trend now of these big corporations like BlackRock buying up houses and then renting them out to people. As a renter, you don't have that right. As a renter, your landlord can let the cops in. They can walk in themselves. They can, you know, you have certain rights as a renter, obviously. You know, they can't just do whatever they want to you. But if they want to let the cops in, they can let the cops in. Just like if your information is being stored on Google server and they want to hand that over, well, it's on their server. They get to do what they want. So by removing ownership, you're depriving people of these basic rights of this is my house. Get the hell out right now.
Yep.
You can't do that if you're a renter.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that really goes down to the state level of like making sure that like if you are a renter that some of these rights are protected and to where it only falls down to like if I don't like Joe Smo, I can tell him to get the heck out of my house.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so funny to me that again going back to that Chinese example, they want to portray your freedoms, your rights as arrogance or as selfishness. They really want you thinking that you asserting your rights is you being unfriendly and being unfair and selfish or guilty. When in reality, no, we're Americans. We can tell you to get the hell out, King of China, get the hell out. Like that. Sorry, I'm American. I'm just as important as you are, Xi Jinping, if not more so.
A lot of times they'll pull the race card. Like I'm sure, I don't know this story, but I'm sure they pulled the race card in that saying, oh, this is just racism.
He's racist against Chinese people. Yeah, it probably was something like that. Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, like that is what it is to be an American. It like makes me so proud. And it's funny because this guy that owns this coffee shop, called Poetry and Prose, I think, or something in prose. But he's a big lefty guy. You know, he's a big liberal Democrat guy. But I guess he had some experience in China or a family member that had been, you know, abused by the Chinese government. So he's like, no, I don't want to be a part of this. And that's as right as an American. And that really is a beautiful thing that people don't recognize what a unique and like bizarre situation that is, that in America, the average citizen has every right that the most important, rich, powerful person anywhere in the world has. We're American. You don't outrank us.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that's incredible. And of course, it goes straight to, you know, the Second Amendment and the classic just reality of
the Second was written to protect the First.
All of our rights are protected by the Second. And look, guns aren't going away. So you're either setting up a situation where I'm a human being with a right to defend myself, or some other guy is just better and more important than me, and he gets the ability to defend himself. He gets to decide who, you know, is able to wield violence, and I'm just a subject. And that is like so anti-American. It's so un-American at its basics, at the foundational level. We have to assert our rights, no matter how many Chinese people call us arrogant for doing so.
Probably all of them.
Maybe all of them. Except the ones that, you know, are strapped to some torture chair being, you know, having unwilling confessions pulled out. Right. And that's the other, you know, there's a story earlier this week, the social credit score, where it's like some huge number of people in China commit suicide every year because their social credit score is so low. Their friends don't want to hang out with them. They can't be seen with them. They can't afford anything. They can't pay off their debts. So they just end up killing themselves. Like, they're setting up this system of death, and they're getting there incrementally. So, like, we have to just lay down the law, set the red line, and go, these are our freedoms. You're not taking them. Next question.
Right? Absolutely. I mean, all these people were disarmed at one point.
Yeah.
And we see what happened. And that's why it's more important than ever to protect the Second Amendment. Now, I know you think the Second Amendment's not going anywhere, and I agree with you. I think Americans will eventually start taking it more seriously. But I'm scared we could turn into a third world nation if the sheep decide they're going to turn in their guns. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll give my AR-15 up. It's just an AR-15. All right, I'll give my Glock 17 up. And then eventually all they have is a over-under and if that,
yeah. And then, you know, you've got the Venezuelan gangs with the, you know, belt-fed machine guns, just, you know, totally outside of the law. And that's the, you know, the other thing, right, is the classic a problem, reaction, solution. They allow crime out of control. They allow, you know, criminals to flood our country. And then they point to the statistics and go, see how dangerous guns are? We have to take your guns. Well, you people are causing this problem. And the solution you're offering is our enslavement. So we're not falling for it, folks. We're not falling for it. Kyle, I know you're going to be on with Alex a little bit later today. In the meantime, you can follow Kyle Rittenhouse on X at This Is Kyle R. His website where you can get his book Acquitted is rittenhousebook.com, rittenhousebook.com at This Is Kyle R. Thanks so much for being here with us, and keep up the great work, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to see you talk to Alex a little bit later today.
Yeah.
That's about going to do it for us, folks. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the only way we get funding. We are brought to you by you, the InfoWars audience, at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there today. Keep all of our freedoms alive from the first to the thousandth. It's going to do it for us. Come on, folks.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, You probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs, only at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.